People, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Eight-time Grammy winner Buddy Guy is coming back to Redding's historic Cascade Theater March 5th. This legendary American blues guitarist and singer is also a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't miss Buddy Guy, one night only at the Cascade Theater, March 5th. Get tickets before they sell out at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Dropping almost 1,000 points again below 25,000, which means that we've seen a significant market sell-off over the course of the last 5 days, all the way down from about 29,000 all the way down to below 25,000. That is a market correction. Anything below 10% down is a market correction. We have seen well below 10% down. And this is leading to questions about how real this drop is. Is this going to last? Are we going to see a gradual rise again as the market improves based on the market pricing in all of the global supply chain disruptions? What you're seeing in the news today is people trying to make political hay out of this thing. There's just no question this is happening. And it's really a point of irritation to watch the media, who are definitely spinning people into a panic over this thing, try to pretend that they are not involved in spinning people into a panic over this thing. Or Democrats, who continue to claim that the government response is completely lackluster, then claim, how dare President Trump responds to our claims that he is botching a pandemic response? I mean, the fact is that there are people out there who, without evidence, are suggesting that a pandemic is directly on the horizon, that the United States is going to be hit with a wave that it is unprepared for. And not only that, but that President Trump is solely responsible for this. You've seen Democrats out there claiming that the stock market drop is somehow reflective of President Trump's inability to quell fears about the stock market. Nancy Pelosi, for example, said just this yesterday. She said, well, President Trump was trying to quell the markets. The markets dropped even as Trump was talking.
A president said something so strange that you really have to wonder. He said the reason the market dropped is because of the debate the other night. Well, the market had dropped 1,800 points before the debate the other night. The market dropped while he was speaking yesterday in his press conference. So, you know, let's not be silly about what that is.
Okay, what that is global supply chains being disrupted. The fact is that the United States has very strong underlying economic fundamentals by every expert that I have talked to and most experts out there. The U.S. is not the problem with the global economy right now. The global economy is in trouble specifically because of China, and because when China's supply chains disrupt global supply chains, it slows down the ability of customers to buy. It slows down the ability of distributors to distribute. It slows down the ability of producers to produce. And this means that you have holdups. And that means that companies are not able to fulfill their orders. It means that they are not able to make money, and then they're not able to pay off those debts. So China's mishandling of this entire thing from the very outset, it just demonstrates the dangers of investing heavy amounts of money in factories and authoritarian dictatorships that are more willing to kill their own people for speaking openly about threats like coronavirus than they are to actually crack down on coronavirus after the cat is already out of the bag, after the hen is already out of the coop. So the fact is, this has really nothing to do with the United States. This has to do with China botching this thing. It has to do with the fact that the European economy was already on relatively shaky footing. Their growth rates were already incredibly low. We've had on Mohamed El Arian, who's now getting all sorts of credit. He's the head of Allianz. He's getting all sorts of credit, correctly so, for forecasting a couple of days ago, don't buy into the stock market drop yet. Wait a little bit more, because it's really a stock market correction. He's been on my show pointing out that the fundamentals of the economy in the United States are fine. It's the fundamentals of the economy in Europe that are a real problem, because Europe has been blowing out the spending, because Europe has not actually got its debt in line with its spending, because European growth rates have been low, and because China's growth rates have been unduly inflated. And so he was predicting for a long time that as central banks continue to manipulate currencies in order to keep the market up, eventually they would run out of bullets in their gun, and you would have to see some actual underlying fundamental economic changes in places like Europe and China in order to sustain growth. That's what you were seeing here. You're not seeing correction based on failures of American policy. You're seeing corrections here based on failures of European and Chinese policy specifically, and you're seeing what happens when vulnerable global supply lines actually become vulnerable. And the fact is, globalization is fantastic in the sense that if you can widely distribute the factors of production across various country lines, you can make that cheaper, you can make it quicker, you can make products more easily and better. All of that is true. It also means that just as if you were playing a game of telephone, the chances are much better that the longer the line goes on, somebody is going to miss the message somewhere in the middle. Well, the longer the supply chain is, the better chance is that there is some sort of disruption in one of those areas, and that disruption is going to affect the entire supply chain. So companies are constantly trying to evaluate what are the sort of downside risks here. This event is sort of a black swan. A black swan is an event that is completely unforeseen. It's somewhat unforeseeable. It's an event that is so large and out of the box that nobody has really planned for it. There was no real contingency plan for it. Now, I think it's fair to say that people should have taken into account that China was a significant area of risk for a very long time. I mean, the fact is, again, it's an authoritarian regime. That means that they can shift policy at a moment's notice. But more than that, there have been a series of diseases coming out of China, ranging from bird flu to SARS, right? And all of these diseases coming out of China, maybe that should have been more predictable that something like this would happen. But they were cropping up once every few years. They really did not disrupt global supply lines the way that this has disrupted global supply lines. So it was sort of an unforeseeable black swan. To blame that on Trump or to suggest that that is reflective of underlying problems in the American economy is really not true, particularly since President Trump has been very harsh on China, right? President Trump has suggested that investments in China are actually a mistake in the first place and that we should be bringing a lot more of those investments home. Again, I think companies in the future are going to think twice about whether they want to invest in China based on the factor that you never know 5 years from now whether China is simply going to step in and declare that all business in the country is done, right? That they're just not going to operate anymore. So we'll get into more of this in just one second. And the sort of parochial nature of Americans' view of the economy, which is that everything in the American economy is reliant on the American economy alone. That just is not true. It's never been true. It's why it's always very silly. I mean, I've said this while Trump was president. I think it's very silly for any one president to be credited with a stock market drop or a stock market increase. Unless the president takes policies that are directly related to a stock market crash, very often, global economic factors have very little to do with sort of the tinkering around the margins that presidents tend to do. Okay, so the New York Times reporting on the real reasons why this thing is dropping, and the lead is always buried, but the reality, again, is that the cause of the global stock market drop is not the United States, it is pretty much everybody else. And the global stock market, according to the New York Times, slid for the sixth straight day on Thursday. Of course, it's sliding again today. On Friday, the S&P 500 slid 4.4% on Thursday. As I say again, as of early trading this morning, the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, was down another 1,000 points. The downturn continued on Friday as Asian markets closed sharply lower and European stocks tumbled at the start of trading. The widening scope of the health crisis threatens to overwhelm global supply chains, especially in China, the world's second largest economy after the United States. In addition, the outbreak could crush consumer demand as people limit travel or stay home, even without a government order to do so. And this is where the uncertainty really comes in. It's why China has really botched this thing. Because even if China had an outbreak, but they were transparent about what exactly was going on, the market could price in the information. That's what markets do. Markets are fantastic at pricing in information. There's a theory of the stock market that is called the efficient markets theory. There's sort of a strong version and a weak version. The strong efficient markets theory says that no single trader can ever beat the stock market in general because it is a collectivized aggregation of all knowledge on a particular topic. The more information is available, the more the stock market is able to price it in. When you see tremendous stock market drops like you've seen over the last week, what that means is tremendous uncertainty. It means that people are trying to figure out exactly how much uncertainty there is in the global market, exactly how much information has been made available. And the fact that China has been very stingy about the information that they've actually put out there is the rationale for this drop, because investors are trying to figure out, okay, well, I'm not sure whether this thing is going to continue for a month or 6 months. I'm not sure whether we're going to see cancellations of public events. Already in Switzerland, they've canceled apparently all public events over 1,000 people. Not sure why 1,000 people is the limit, but you could easily see something like that in the United States if this outbreak starts to worsen. You could see sporting events could be shut down, for example. Scott Clemens, the chief investment strategist for private bankers at Brown Brothers Harriman, said the outbreak's potential to alter American consumers' habits was at the heart of the sell-off. To the degree that consumers change their behaviors, they stop going out to eat, they don't take the vacation, they cancel the business trip, that consumption, that spending, personal consumption, is 68% of GDP. Over the past few days, companies as varied as United Airlines, MasterCard, and Pfizer have said the outbreak poses a threat to their 2020 earnings. Analysts at Goldman Sachs predict that companies in the S&P 500 would generate no profit growth the entire year as a result of the crisis because of a severe decline in Chinese economic activity. On Wednesday, President Trump tried to address the outbreak and said that the risk to the United States was low, but people aren't really confident in that because, frankly, even the United States government doesn't know enough about coronavirus. Again, this is the problem with China withholding all sorts of information. Nobody knows the death rate. There are two real factors, as I discussed yesterday, in deciding what the risk factors are with regard to coronavirus. One is the transmission rate, and the other is the death rate, and we don't have good information on either one of those because China has not been revealing the information, and you're seeing widely variant reports across the globe on the impact of coronavirus. Right? You are seeing that coronavirus in Iran is killing like a crap load of people, but coronavirus in Italy isn't killing that many people, which is not like a major shock considering that public health in Iran is garbage and the government of Iran is garbage. A bunch of their top ministers have gotten coronavirus over in Iran, according to Farnaz Fasihi and Rick Gladstone reporting for The New York Times. A senior figure in Iran's government who sits just a few seats away from President Hassan Rouhani at cabinet meetings has fallen ill with coronavirus, making her Iran's seventh official to test positive, including one prominent cleric who has died. There have been almost 300 deaths in Iran. That's just what's been reported. Vice President Masuma Ebtekar, Mr. Rouhani's deputy for women's affairs and the highest-ranking woman in the government, also one of the lead revolutionaries during the Iranian revolution that in which they took hostages. She was actually one of the hostage takers, so she's a delightful human being. She has a confirmed coronavirus infection, couldn't happen to a nicer gal, is quarantined at home. That disclosure came a day after a cabinet meeting in which she was in close contact with other government leaders, including Rouhani. A photo posted by a BBC Persia reporter on Twitter showed she was sitting within a few yards of Rouhani. She was known as Mary during the Tehran hostage crisis 4 decades ago. Iran now appears to have the highest number of government officials infected by coronavirus. It was officially first reported in the holy Iranian city of Qom on February 19th. The disease is believed to have spread to the country from China, which retains close economic relations with Iran. They have already reported something like 245 people infected, something like 26 deaths already. But health experts estimate the number of infections is far higher because the country's fatality rate of about 20% seems so high compared to other countries. Meanwhile, we've seen that in Italy, coronavirus is shutting down public activity, but we're not seeing tons of deaths. So there is a wide difference in how countries' death rates are varying and transmission rates are varying as well. Because we don't have enough information, the stock market is trying to price in a tremendous amount of uncertainty right now. So when you see that stock market dip, what you should recognize is that if, as information emerges, it turns out that coronavirus is really not going to have as grave an impact on global health rates as it was originally suspected it might, then you're going to see the stock market quickly reprice and people buy back in. The question is where the bottom is, and nobody really knows the answer. My guess is that we are approaching the bottom because uncertainty seems like it's at its height right now. I'm not recommending that people go and buy stocks. All I'm saying is that I would be looking in the very near future to buy stocks given the stock market dip that has taken place over the last few days. Whenever the stock market drops this much, that tends to be a fairly good time to buy stocks, not a great time to sell stocks. You don't want to sell into a dropping market. Buying into a dropping market is a good idea. And by the way, When people say my 401k is worth less, that's true. Your 401k is worth less, but if you're not cashing it out, it doesn't really matter. And Warren Buffett was once asked how much money he lost during the 2007-2008 stock market crash, and he said, I didn't lose a dime because I didn't sell a stock. As long as you don't realize the loss is not realized, which is something good to keep in mind when you're panicking over the value of your 401k. If you don't have to access your 401k right now, it doesn't really matter. You can wait another year, the stock market goes back up, which, by the way, is the best investment strategy. Buy and hold is a very, very good investment strategy over time. Playing around with the stock market is generally not a great investment strategy. The outbreak of coronavirus in and around Milan is light years from the horrors of the plague. For now, only just over a dozen people have died. They were elderly or with serious underlying health conditions. And this seems to be the pattern. Even in the Chinese statistics that have been made available, the death rates are much higher for older people and people with pre-existing conditions than they are for people who are young. Nonetheless, people are staying home. People are freaked out. You can see the pictures from Milan. It's a bustling city. But now, basically, everybody is staying home. On Via Alessandro Manzoni, hardly any cars or people went by, and long lines of white taxis waited for fares that didn't come. It led down to Piazza del Duomo, where Milan's landmark cathedral, usually crammed with tourists and people rushing to the subway, was mostly empty. Only a few tourists, often wearing masks, showed up and took pictures of themselves, swarmed in gray clouds of the pigeons they fed out of their hands. La Scala is still shuttered. The shopkeepers in bars and stores stared absentmindedly out the windows or checked their phones. Again, none of this is a grave shock. Everybody is being very cautious at this point. Meanwhile, in the United States, there has been a lot of focus on California, because there are apparently 8,400 people who are being monitored in the state of California, our Ken doll of a governor, Gavin Newsom, who has presided over one of the worst health crises in modern California history in terms of a massive homeless crisis that has spread disease in areas like downtown Los Angeles. Gavin Newsom came out yesterday and announced that we are monitoring 8,400 people and that 33 confirmed cases of coronavirus have cropped up in California alone.
Thousands and thousands of other people have come in on more traditional flights through the state of California. Some 8,400 plus are currently being monitored with 49 local jurisdictions doing those protocols and monitoring as it relates to more traditional commercial flights that came in from points of concern and potential points of contact, particularly in Asia.
Okay, so 8,400 people is a lot of people to monitor. The people they're monitoring are people who have had points of contact in China. We have seen the first case in California. This is the one that's kind of freaky. The first case of what they call a community infection, meaning we have no idea where the person got the coronavirus infection. According to the New York Times, coronavirus diagnosis in California is highlighting testing flaws. Doctors suspected that one person was infected with coronavirus for days, but the patient didn't fit the federal criteria because they hadn't been in contact with anyone from China and they weren't tested for days, which means they were running around the state of California without any testing protocol in place. Even before the announcement on Wednesday, frustration had been mounting among health providers and medical experts that the agency was testing too few Americans, which may slow preparations for an outbreak and may obscure the scope of infections. Lauren Sauer, director of operations at Johns Hopkins Office of Critical Event Preparedness and Response, says, "I think the diagnostic issue is the single most important thing that keeps me up at night right now." CDC officials said on Thursday they had not been made aware that doctors in California made an urgent appeal for diagnostic testing of the woman. By the end of the day, the agency had revised and broadened its testing criteria, adding to the number of Americans who qualify. Right now, they're saying there is a shortage of testing kits. So all the talk about testing everybody, that apparently is not a thing that is possible right now. CDC is worrying that maybe the health system gets overwhelmed. But the fact is that we are going to be spending billions of dollars on this thing. Coming up, more information on coronavirus. You need to know, so we'll give you the information. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
It's time to glow at the Reading Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Reading Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
It's the Preston Safe Sales event at Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and cash for kids' classrooms. Save on the 2020 Kia Sportage all-wheel drive with 0% APR for 66 months or $2,000 Kia customer cash. Get great deals at Redding Kia. Ends 2/29/2020. On approval of credit, must finance through KFM for this offer. 0% APR for 66 months is $15.15 per 1,000 finance. Check it out, RedingKia.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta, wanting to spread the word to all North State first responders, police, fire, EMS, and dispatchers. We are bringing nationally certified Code 9 PTSD and suicide prevention training right here to Shasta County, starting March 24th at Simpson University. There are seminars for command staff, frontline first responders, or their families. We have paid so you can attend for free. Details and registration on our We Back the Blue Shasta Facebook page.
So right now, China still leads the way in terms of number of infections, apparently at least 2,800 people, according to the WHO. South Korea has the second highest national total of coronavirus cases behind China. With more than 81,000 people tested in that country, about 2,300 had tested positive for coronavirus. More than 30,000 others were waiting test results at this point. Meanwhile, a majority of the cases who are on board the Diamond Princess cruise ships, the people in the United States who were diagnosed with the disease, they were on board that Diamond Princess cruise ship that was placed under quarantine in Japanese waters. No American has yet died from coronavirus. The CDC is investigating the source of the various infections that have been seen around the country. The FDA said on Thursday it was not aware of any reports at this time of human illnesses that suggest that coronavirus can be transmitted by food or by food packaging. Meanwhile, there's the other big story today from the U.S. government is that a whistleblower within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services had filed a complaint alleging that more than a dozen workers were sent to receive the first Americans repatriated from Wuhan, China, without proper training or protective gear for coronavirus infection control. This is reported by the Washington Post. They suggest that the coronavirus basically was treated without any sort of protective gear, according to this whistleblower. The underlying complaint, apparently, has not been substantiated at this point. A spokesperson for the U.S. Office of Special Counsel confirmed it received the whistleblower complaint and that the case has been assigned. When asked for comment, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson Caitlin Oakley told ABC News, "We take all whistleblower complaints very seriously and are providing the complainants all appropriate protections under the Whistleblower Protection Act. We're evaluating the complaint, have nothing further to add at this time." ABC News has not revealed the complaint. Lawyers representing the whistleblower have refused to provide the complaint. One of the whistleblower's attorneys told ABC News that the allegations laid forth are accurate. He says, "We are hopeful Congress and the OSC will investigate this case in a timely and comprehensive manner." There's no evidence, by the way, that anybody who actually met the folks coming back from Wuhan, that any of those folks were actually infected with coronavirus. Nonetheless, that is leading to questions about the federal handling of this entire situation. Now, with all of that said, there's no question that the Democrats and the media are making hay out of all this. Brian Stelter was saying, we may be looking at a crisis, and meanwhile, we're having a crisis in leadership. Okay, we're not anywhere near a crisis point in the United States at this point, guys. We are just not. We're not. And the fact is that we have double-digit numbers of actual infected in the United States. There's only 60 total infected in the United States. In a country of 330 million people, we have zero deaths so far. So the notion that we are, like, on the verge of a widespread outbreak, now, this stuff is fluid. It could move. But there's no evidence at this point that a pandemic is in the offing in the United States, particularly since the U.S. has done a fairly good job, it seems so far, of quarantining people. Meanwhile, over in Israel, there are reports that Israeli scientists are on the cusp of developing the first vaccine against the novel coronavirus, according to Science and Technology Minister Ofer Akunis. I look forward to Bernie Sanders, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar suggesting boycott, divestment, and sanction from the coronavirus vaccine because it's produced in Israel. If all goes as planned, the vaccine could be ready within a few weeks and available in 90 days, according to a press release. So we'll see, you know, how well this coronavirus vaccine works. But at least there are some glimmers of hope on the horizon. Coming up, the Democrats are attacking President Trump incessantly over coronavirus. He is correct to be ticked. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Listen here, you little twit.
Matilda the Musical is the story of an extraordinary girl who, with a sharp mind, proves that even if you're little, you can do a lot. Inspired by the genius of Roald Dahl, Matilda the Musical is packed with high-energy dance numbers, catchy songs, and an unforgettable cast. Children and adults alike will be thrilled and delighted by the story of Matilda. The Cascade Theatre presents Matilda the Musical, March 20th through 29th. Tickets at cascadetheatre.org or 243-8877.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It is perfectly obvious that Democrats and the media are trying to maximize the healing of chaos around coronavirus. That is not a myth propagated by Trump. It is true. President Trump's original comments about the coronavirus were very silly, right? He came out and then he suggested that he spelled it wrong. Right? He came out and he said that we're on the verge of a vaccine in the United States. That wasn't true. And then his people had to come out and say he meant the Ebola vaccine. And what the president should have done is what all presidents should do in case of crisis. Immediately turn to your experts, put your experts in charge, and then just hands off. Right? My experts are in charge. They know epidemiology better than I do. A very easy solution. The president, however, has an unfortunate habit of running over to Twitter and then just saying things. And that, of course, is not smart. However, the president does have a right to push back against Democrats who have been claiming falsely that the end of the world is upon us. Even the Associated Press called out Democrats yesterday. The Associated Press, which is no right-wing source, reported that Democrats who keep suggesting that President Trump is defunding the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, or decreasing the National Institute for Health budget, the AP says these people are wrong. They say that this is just not true. Trump's budget's proposed cuts to public health only to be overruled by Congress, where there is strong bipartisan support for agencies like the CDC and the NIH. Instead, funding has increased. Indeed, the money that government disease detectives first tapped to fight the latest outbreak was a congressional fund created for health emergencies. Some public health experts say a bigger concern than White House budgets is the steady erosion of the CDC grant program for state and local public health emergency preparedness. But that decline was set in motion by a congressional budget measure that comes before Trump. The broader point about there being nobody here to coordinate the response is not true. The public health, this is the AP, right? It's not me, this is the AP. The public health system has a playbook to follow for pandemic preparation, regardless of who's president or whether specific instructions are coming from the White House. Those plans were put into place in anticipation of another flu pandemic, but are designed to work for any respiratory-borne disease. Among the health authorities overseeing the work are Dr. Ann Schuchat, CDC's principal deputy director and veteran of previous outbreaks, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, NIH's infectious disease chief, who has advised six presidents. John Auerbach, president of the Nonpartisan Trust for America's Health, says the CDC's response has been excellent, as it has been in the past. Auerbach says CDC's top scientific ranks have remained stable during the past 3 years. Now, there may be problems going forward, but that is not because of cuts that Trump supposedly undertook. But this is not stopping the media from speculating and speculating and speculating. I mean, they are indeed trying to whip people into a frenzy over all this, which, by the way, may provide you a buying opportunity in the stock market if the stock market is responding to that ridiculous feeding frenzy. The Washington Post has several pieces today trying to suggest that the White House response is lackluster, despite the fact that we're like a week into the White House response. According to Beth Reinhardt, Emma Brown, and Nina Satija over at the Washington Post, the White House official charged with leading the U.S. response to deadly pandemics left nearly 2 years ago as his global health security team was disbanded. Federal funding for preventing and mitigating the spread of infectious disease has been repeatedly threatened since President Trump's election. But by the way, repeatedly threatened does not mean that it was cut. It was not actually cut. By the way, this is one area of government spending that actually makes a difference. Right? If you're talking about pandemic prevention, there are 1,000 other places to cut in American government. Pandemic prevention seems like a fairly good place to actually put some federal money. Despite the mounting threat of a coronavirus outbreak in the United States, Trump says he has no regrets about those actions and that expertise and resources can be quickly ramped up to meet current needs. But again, the cuts never took place. So the Washington Post is proclaiming that cuts took place that never happened. The Washington Post is trying to stir up a feeling of unease about the federal government's response when, again, there's no evidence that the CDC at the top levels is understaffed. There's no evidence that CDC is underfunded at this point. Trump is going back to Congress for more money tomorrow. If we have to spend money, it's not as though the federal government is unable to spend money. The federal government spends $4 trillion a year. A few billion dollars is not going to, like, the question is where you allocate for that in future budgets to repay. But lest you forget, we have $22 trillion in debt here in the United States. In federally undertaken debt in the United States. So racking up a few more billion ain't gonna bankrupt the United States. Former federal officials and public health experts argue that an effective response to an epidemiological crisis demands sustained planning and investment, while the administration's response to coronavirus, says the Washington Post, has been criticized in recent weeks as slow and disjointed. People in and outside the White House have warned for years the nation is ill-prepared for a dangerous pandemic. Okay, let me just remind you. People said exactly the same thing about Ebola. People said exactly the same thing about bird flu. There has yet to be a federal response to a disaster in my lifetime in which people said, ah, the federal government really handled that thing beautifully. Because guess what? The federal government ain't God. They can only do what they can do. And the fact is that most of the time, they're going to botch something because that's what the federal government does. They're a big botchery. The only question is whether they are the best available resource at this given point in time. And right now, they basically are. Tom Inglesby, director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, says, you build a fire department ahead of time. You don't wait for a fire. There's an underappreciation for the amount of time and resources required to build a prepared system. But again, we have a prepared system when it comes to flu. The question is how large the ramp up is. President Obama, in 2014, appointed Ronald Klain, a veteran Democratic operative, to serve as Ebola czar. Now, by the way, this should be noted. Remember that time when everybody said that it's very bad that Mike Pence was made the coronavirus czar here? People ripping on Mike Pence, specifically ripping on Mike Pence because when he was governor of Indiana, he didn't stand in favor of needle exchanges, and so they blame him for an HIV outbreak because of needle exchanges, which is just an absurdity at the highest level. Okay, it is not the responsibility of the government to provide you free needles, clean needles, so you can shoot up. Okay, that is a very controversial public policy issue. To blame Mike Pence for an HIV outbreak because he didn't provide government-provided free needles to people is just an insane contention. Nonetheless, people are ripping on Pence. Well, how could you appoint Pence to this thing? President Obama appointed Ronald Klain, a Democratic operative. The Obama administration, according to the Washington Post, also set up a special National Security Council team to oversee epidemic preparedness on a permanent basis. The Global Health Security Team continued to operate during Trump's first year in office before John Bolton dismantled the unit when he took over as NSA in 2018. That led to the abrupt departure of its leader, Rear Admiral Timothy Zimmer, who had led the White House's anti-malaria efforts under Obama and George W. Bush. Okay, but would we be significantly better off if that guy were employed right now? Not a ton of evidence to suggest that that would be the case. It was a clear loss, and now we are behind the ball, said a former White House official familiar with Zimmer's team. They had the contacts in the relationships and knew who to talk to. Okay, I have a feeling that people can find phone numbers in the federal government. Like, really, I have a feeling that this is just trying to whip people into a ridiculous level of frenzy over government shortcomings that have yet to be proved in the Washington Post. And they ran like three pieces like this yesterday. They ran a bunch of pieces like this yesterday trying to suggest shortcomings in the White House. This is a political issue. I mean, the Democrats are trying to make this political, and it really should not be political. Mike Pence yesterday came out. He said, listen, we have no higher priority than coronavirus. I mean, we are working on this thing.
President Donald Trump has no higher priority than the health, safety, and well-being of the American people. As the president said yesterday, we're ready. We're ready for anything. Yesterday, President Trump directed me to lead a whole-of-government approach to address the coronavirus in this country. And I promise you, we will continue to bring the full resources of the federal government to bear to protect the American people.
And you know what? That's probably true. I mean, and when I say that's probably true, I mean, like, what would be the upside of not bringing the full force of the federal government to bear on something that's at the tip of everybody's tongue? What Penn says there is the proper response. That is the proper response. Democrats, however, are trying to complain about this thing endlessly. I mean, it's so bad that even Democrats were storming out of a meeting with other Democrats after Democrats were complaining about the Trump response. How irritating has the Democratic and media response been on this? It's even irritating other Democrats. According to Politico, several House Republicans walked out of a closed-door coronavirus meeting on Friday with Trump health officials in protest after a senior Democrat, who looks a lot like Keith Richards for some reason, blasted the Trump administration's handling of the response effort. Representative Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut kicked off the briefing sharply criticizing the administration as disorganized and lacking urgency in combating the coronavirus. Her eight-minute speech frustrated Republicans and some Democrats assembled to hear from the slate of officials from the CDC, NIH, and State Department. By the way, notice what Politico didn't put in the headline. It's a Republican storm out of coronavirus briefing after Democrat rips Trump's response. There's only one problem. Other Democrats were pissed off at DeLauro. They were like, what are you doing? Like, we're all on the same page here. Seriously, this is where, really? Representative Paul Mitchell of Michigan, Republican, said, if I wanted to hear the politics of it, I'd read Politico. DeLauro's comments were indicative of the growing political tensions around the Trump administration's handling of the coronavirus response. Trump, who's tried to publicly downplay the virus through misleading claims just after midnight, took to Twitter to complain that Democrats were pinning the crisis on him. And of course, that's true. I mean, the Democrats are trying to pin the crisis on him. Trump says, he tweeted out, "So the coronavirus, which started in China and spread to various countries throughout the world, but very slowly in the U.S. because President Trump closed our border and ended flights very early, is now being blamed by the do-nothing Democrats to be the fault of Trump." And then he said that Democratic lawmakers were wasting time on other legislative priorities. He says the do-nothing Democrats were busy wasting time on the immigration hoax and anything else they could do to make the Republican Party look bad, while I was busy calling early border and flight closings put us way ahead in our battle with coronavirus. Dems called it very wrong. That's kind of factual. By the way, again, even Democrats were annoyed by this ridiculous Rosa DeLauro character grandstanding on this issue. Donna Shalala, who led the health department under Bill Clinton, said no one wanted to hear that, either Democrats or Republicans. We just wanted to hear the substance. DeLauro, the leading health appropriator, accused the administration of a lack of urgency and warned there were several crucial questions that remained unanswered. As lawmakers transferred to a bigger room, a visibly frustrated DeLauro told colleagues she didn't give a rat's ass and about the reaction and that members needed answers from the administration. The briefing was led by the CDC Director Robert Redfield and NIH Infectious Disease Specialist Tony Fauci, who was called to update members on the state of the coronavirus's spread. Asked about an HHS whistleblower complaint, officials did not directly contradict the allegations, but they insisted they believed everyone was properly trained and protocols were followed. That was about that whistleblower complaint mentioned earlier. Meanwhile, CNN, trying to claim that Trump is silencing scientists, this is based on a New York Times piece that points out that the White House is now running all messaging through Mike Pence, which, again, makes a lot of sense. Okay, it makes a lot of sense. You want to have a singular message coming out of the administration. If there is a cover-up, okay, if it turns out that the coronavirus outbreak is much more widespread, then that will damage the administration far worse than anything else. Radical transparency is called for, and the administration, I think, knows this. What they don't want is exactly what has happened, a bunch of low-level officials running out and saying different things, and then the media reporting chaos in the administration. So the media are trying to create this catch-22. If you have a bunch of low-level officials running out there, uncoordinated, saying different things, then they say, chaos in the administration. No one's heading this up. It's a complete disaster show. Okay, and then if you have one person heading it, like Pence, and all the messaging is going through Pence, then it's, they've bottlenecked this thing. This is censorship. In other words, there's nothing that Trump can do right here, right? And there's nothing that Pence can do right. Here was CNN trying yesterday to suggest that Trump was silencing scientists to prevent them from talking about coronavirus, which is absolutely absurd.
The problem occurs when, A, you have a president who starts with very little credibility, and then, B, you have an administration that has had mixed messages. And what the people want is the truth, and the question is whether you can get the truth more from the scientists or whether you believe the politicians are the right people to get the truth. When scientists use the word pandemic, they don't take that lightly, and they say that it is a possibility, and if they are muzzled from talking about that possibility, I think that could threaten public health.
Okay, muzzled from talking? No one's muzzling anybody. Okay, seriously, nobody is muzzling anybody. The problem is that there are a bunch of different stories coming out, and that is shocking the stock market, because when you are getting multiple different stories, that raises the level of uncertainty. Okay, that's a problem. You actually want to, if you want a coordinated response, then you want a coordinated response. If you want an uncoordinated, discombobulated response, then by all means, don't set up some sort of head at the head of the system. This is pure ridiculousness from the media. The RNC chair, Ronna Romney McDaniel, she came out and she said, like, this is ridiculous. Schumer and Pelosi are acting like political hacks. We should all be on the same page with this thing. And this, of course, is true.
They're trying to stoke fear in the American people.
Yep.
This is the time when Americans usually come together and they put aside their political differences and they say, how can I help this president? How can I make sure we calm the fears of the American people? And that's precisely the opposite of what Democrats are doing. They're politicizing this. We are preparing. We are putting protocols in place and we're going to be ready. And Democrats should be joining him and saying, guess what? We're going to work together across party lines to make sure our country is safe, and that they're politicizing it, which they've done with every single issue when it comes to this president. And that is why they're just so shameful, and they haven't helped solve many, many problems that the American people are facing.
She's saying she speaks truth. She speaks truth. Okay, that is 100% true. I mean, you can see it in the Washington Post. The Washington Post has another piece today about how Trump is mean to bureaucrats. So obviously this threatens the country because Trump has ripped on the deep state. Throughout his more than 3 years as president, says the Washington Post, Trump has obsessed, at times conspiratorially, over what he calls the deep state, the thousands of career government specialists in national security, intelligence, science, and other areas whose expertise he shuns, in part because he suspects they are disloyal saboteurs. And so with the first case of coronavirus not tied to foreign travel being announced in California on Wednesday, Trump finds himself grappling with a crisis for which his record suggests he's particularly ill-suited to respond. So because Trump is ripping on his intel people, because they were, in fact, leaking a bunch of crap about him for years on end, this means he's ill-equipped to respond. by letting health officers do their job? I mean, come on. This is exactly what Democrats are looking for. This doesn't mean that Trump can't handle this better. I said it right from the beginning. President Trump should be quiet and now let Pence handle this thing and not say a word about it. That's what he should do. And he should let his people handle it. But to proclaim that we are in the midst of a public relations and Trump-caused crisis is just missing the fact that the rest of the world is the source of coronavirus, is the source of the global economic risk, that the United States is actually the only solid island in a sea of chaos. Coming up, brand new polls from South Carolina as we approach the South Carolina primary tomorrow. Joe Biden's last gasp or the beginning of a comeback is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge at the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, South Carolina, the election happening tomorrow. We are approaching the South Carolina primary. That is supposed to happen tomorrow. And this is Joe Biden's last gasp. If Joe Biden doesn't win big in South Carolina, this sucker is over and Bernie Sanders is the nominee. Even if Joe Biden does win in South Carolina, there is the possibility that Bernie Sanders runs away with this thing anyway. We've now been treated to a bevy of new polling data. There are 3 new polls out today, one from Data for Progress, a Democratic firm. It shows Joe Biden up 34-25 over Bernie Sanders, one from the Post and Courier in South Carolina, which has Biden over a very narrow lead. Sanders, he's got 28-24 over Sanders. And then there's an Emerson poll which shows Biden blowing Sanders the F out, blowing him out 41-25, like really blowing him out. Biden needs a double-digit victory here. He needs at least a double-digit victory. If he wins narrow, Sanders takes the nomination. If he wins broad, then all of a sudden you might see a bump for Joe Biden, you're starting to see Democrats, again, sort of, they're sort of splitting the baby. So on the one hand, they really don't want Bernie to be the nominee. On the other hand, they're sort of creating a backup plan where they can try to retcon Bernie's history, as I mentioned yesterday. Nancy Pelosi yesterday, she says, well, you know, if we have to support Bernie's agenda, I guess we will. I mean, don't like him so much, but I mean, I guess we'll do it.
Whoever our nominee is, we will support with respect for his or her positions and hopefully with their respect for our positions as well. So we have made a decision to win. And as I say to the members, if you make a decision to win, you have to make every subsequent decision to win. No friction, no nothing. Just stay on the path to victory because it's so very important.
Okay, so yes, we'll get behind Bernie Sanders if we have to. If we have to. At the same press conference, she suggests that if Bernie goes into the convention with a plurality of delegates but not a majority of delegates, then she will not necessarily support Bernie Sanders. So they are adjusting to the possibility of Bernie Sanders without handing over the keys to the car to Bernie Sanders at this point. There's a reason for that. Rahm Emanuel, former chief of staff to Barack Obama, and of course former mayor of Chicago, he says, listen, for all this talk about Bernie driving up turnout in controversial areas, it ain't happening. Dude does not have the turnout numbers.
The turnout model that he's looking at, it has not materialized. One of the things I'm concerned about right now is that, well, viewership in the debates are up.
Mm-hmm.
2018, big turnout. 2019, big turnout for Democrats. Participation in our primaries is barely surpassing 2016, and that's a flashing yellow light.
Yeah, and it is indeed a flashing yellow light. But again, you're starting to see Democrats sort of hedge their bets here by defending every bad thing that Bernie ever does. So remember that time that the entire media proclaimed that the Republican Party had been hijacked by Trump and now everybody approved his worst excesses? Yeah, all of that's for Bernie Sanders, like every single element of it. So yesterday, House Republicans tried to bring to the floor a resolution condemning Bernie Sanders for his comments over Cuba and condemning Cuba's human rights abuses. And Democrats voted to block the resolution. Here's Representative Mario Diaz-Balart from Florida, Republican, talking about it.
The Castro regime is not only a threat to the national security interests of the United States, but also to the democracies in our hemisphere. I want to remind Senator Sanders of Cuba's close relationship, of the Cuban regime's close relationship with some of the world's worst thugs.
And that, of course, is true, but it's not really going to matter because Democrats have decided that they will defend anything and everything with regard to Bernie Sanders. Meanwhile, Joe Biden continues, again, in these polls in South Carolina to do very well. We're going to know within 24 hours whether Joe Biden's candidacy is still alive. He may not be. Yesterday on the campaign trail, Joe Biden randomly started talking about ladies taking off their clothes and why you're not allowed to touch them, which is a very, very weird thing to do.
No man has a right to lay a hand on a woman for any other reason than self-defense. And I'm going to make the controversial statements I always made. If someone in this room got up, took off all her clothes and walked out the door, no man has a right to touch her. Zero. She can be arrested for indecent exposure.
Woo! Indecent exposure and no assault. Woo! Everybody's like clapping confusedly. What's he even talking about? Like what? What's going on now? So those are your choices. Democrats, a senile old dude with corrupt ties to his son, maybe, or at least his son is corrupt, or the bat bleep loony communist who spent his entire career being a useless piece of crap. So congratulations. This is the choice you have made for yourself. Meanwhile, Michael Bloomberg continues to be a weapon against Bernie Sanders. He released some medical information about his heart health. And he said that Senator Sanders ought to do the same. We had a caller into our radio show yesterday who asked the question, what happens if Bernie Sanders gets nominated and then God forbid something happens to him? Right? Who actually takes the nomination? The answer, by the way, is that the DNC gets to appoint the replacement for anybody who would plots before an election. But, you know, that's never happened before in American history. In a new report from CNN, Bloomberg campaign spokesman Stu Lesser ripped Sanders for not releasing the same left ventricular ejection fraction data Bloomberg did in his own health report. That's a very specific report talking about the ability of the heart to continue pumping blood properly. Lesser said releasing the single scientific number about heart health could start to put to rest any concerns about Senator Sanders' secrecy about his recent heart attack. He said Mike Bloomberg's doctor shared Mike's number. Will Senator Sanders ask his doctor to do the same? Okay, the answer, of course, is no. Sanders says we're not going to be releasing any more health records, which is weird because earlier in the campaign he said he was going to release all of these health records. Suffice it to say that this Democratic field is so weak at this point. With all of that said, again, there are these black swans that are out there. This coronavirus is a black swan. It does really upturn the entire conventional wisdom about this election. I mean, if the stock market were to continue to drop, if the economy were to stagnate, then everything is on the table. And things get really ugly really quickly. So obviously we'll continue to bring you all the updates on all of this. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Wall Street ends its worst week since the financial crisis in 2008. Here's correspondent Mike Gracia.
The worst week on Wall Street since October 2008 ended with more declines for the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500. The Dow gave up another 357 points, or 1.4%, to close at 25,409. In 1 week, the Dow lost 3,583 points. It was part of a global sell-off, sparked by worries about coronavirus. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow tried again to calm jittery investors.
People should not overreact.
In the final 15 minutes of trading, there was a rally of sorts after the Federal Reserve said it stands ready to help the economy if needed. I'm Mike Gracia.
Health officials have confirmed the second case of novel coronavirus in the United States believed to have been transmitted to a person who didn't travel internationally or come in close contact with anyone who had it. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Friday that officials are aware of a second possible instance of community spread of COVID-19 in California. Santa Clara County health officials said that the patient's an older adult woman with chronic health conditions. Senator Bernie Sanders opening up a wide lead against his Democratic rivals in the latest Super Tuesday poll for California.
Super Tuesday is the day analysts say Senator Sanders could pull away from the competition. So far away, he could amass a virtually insurmountable lead. Now a new Los Angeles Times Berkeley IGS poll put Sanders at 34% in California, the state with the most delegates at stake on Super Tuesday. His numbers are double that of Elizabeth Warren at 17%. Former Vice President Biden doesn't even hit double digits with just 8%. Biden is hoping for a victory in Saturday's South Carolina primary, one that could be enough to breathe new life into his campaign. Bob Agnew reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Americans pulled back on their spending in January, even as their income surged.
In a sign the economy was growing modestly before the threat of the coronavirus arose, the Commerce Department said consumer spending increased 0.2% last month. That's down from 0.4% in December and the smallest gain since October. Incomes, however, rose 0.6%, the biggest increase in nearly a year, spurred by bigger paychecks and an increase in Social Security benefits stemming from a cost-of-living adjustment.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The additional income could help offset the likely drag from this week's stock market plunge and the broader threat from the coronavirus, which has caused many economists to slice their estimates for growth in the first 3 months of the year. The five men killed by a coworker at a Milwaukee brewery include an electrician, a Navy veteran, a father of two small children, a fisherman, and a grandfather who's being remembered as someone who always put his family's needs before his own. News and analysis at townhall.com. Astronomers have discovered the biggest explosion ever seen in the universe.
Astronomers using NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory say the blast likely came from a massive black hole in a cluster of galaxies some 390 million light years away. In a report in the Astrophysical Journal, researchers say the explosion was so large it carved out a crater in the hot gas that could hold 15 Milky Ways. That's five times greater than anything previously recorded. Black holes don't just draw matter in, they also blast out jets of material and energy. And with no signs of such jets currently emerging, the explosion is believed to be over by now. I'm Ben Thomas.
The House has approved a bill to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes and other flavored tobacco products. Lawmakers say that the bill will stem a vaping epidemic among young people. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
It's the President's Day sales event at Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Get $2,500 Kia customer cash instant savings on the 2020 Kia Optima LX. And nominate your favorite teacher at the dealership in our Cash for Kids Classrooms promotion. No purchase necessary. Winning teacher gets $1,000 for their classroom. Details and entry form at Facebook and RedingKia.com. Sale ends 2/29/2020. Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
After complaints from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a U.S. Air Force base in Illinois removed a commander's name from a prayer breakfast invitation. The MRFF asserts that the commander violated the constitutional rights of the subordinates. But this isn't their first complaint, folks. Other cases involve demanding military services to remove Bibles placed on tables honoring prisoners of war and pressuring the Army and Air Force Exchange Services store to stop selling, quote, Jesus candy. Well, Pacific Justice Institute urges Christians to boldly live out their faith.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
The most pressing questions. Plus, we'll be taking your calls at 855-236-3228. First, I got to talk about this tape that is going around. This has become a thing. You know, they have these drag queen story hours that have been taking place at libraries all over the country because nothing says fantastic parenting like bringing a small child to be gender confused by a gender confused person. A man who is pretending to be a lady dressed up in sexually suggestive gear. Nothing says that good parenting quite like that. Well, apparently, in Canada, this is becoming even more of a thing. There's a Canadian drag queen named Tainomi Banks who shows up at a birthday party, maybe? I don't even know what this is. Some event where parents decide it would be a great idea to expose a very small child to sexually suggestive drag queens dancing in front of them. This is TikTok user Amelia Marino posted a video on February 9th captioned Drag Brunch Realness, showing a room full of people watching a drag queen suggestively dance toward a little girl seated on a chair in the middle of the room. Apparently, again, this is a Canadian drag queen. This is a male who identifies as female, so this means a male. Banks said, "My drag is high fashion and very fun. Because I am a dancer, I love to show off my physique. My legs are amazing." How delightful. Banks is dressed in jean shorts that expose the drag queen's buttocks and a black long-sleeve leotard, crawls towards the child, hands her something before dancing away to the song Lose Control. The video shows the child look around at those watching the performance before Banks dances toward the child and embraces her. Here's a little bit of the video for those who can see it, who are subscribers of Daily Wire. So you can see the little girl. This is, and everybody cheering. Oh, how charming. It's just charming. Just charming. This kid's got to be, what, this is maybe a three-year-old kid? 3 to 4, maybe? This is child abuse right here. A man sexually dancing in suggestive fashion, like booty shaking, next to a three-year-old girl in short shorts. And that's just delightful. Just delightful. But this is what counts as open parenting now. Open parenting is expose your child to sexualized material. That's child abuse. It's child abuse. Exposing your child on purpose to sexualized material like that is child abuse. And it wouldn't matter what the sexualized material was. If this were a non-trans drag queen thing, if this were just a normal female stripper, everybody would understand this. But if somebody brought a young girl to be danced at suggestively by a female stripper, just a plain female stripper, a plain old non-JLo imitation female stripper, then everybody would be like, yeah, that's child abuse. But instead, we're supposed to believe that this is woke culture because that is a man who is dressed up as a woman. Because confusing children about their gender is a mark of good parenting now. So if you set standards for your kids, this means you're a bad, restrictive parent. Of course, this doesn't understand the first thing about parenting, which is you are the adult and the child is the child. And one of the keys to being a good parent is protecting the innocence of your child. But according to the left, children are not innocent. Children are just unawakened. And once they are awakened to all the possibilities inherent in life, well, then they can leave. Now this child will lead a more rich, fulfilled life for having been twerked at by a male dressed up as a female. How delightful. And you're considered intolerant if you point out that this is child abuse. Just ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. And speaking of changing standards of societal morality, the New York Times Magazine has an insane piece today called How Will Trump's Supreme Court Remake America? The subhead from Emily Bazelon is on abortion, gun rights, and more. The future could be determined by how fully the court's new conservative majority embraces a rigid understanding of the Constitution. I'm highly amused always when folks on the left talk about constitutional interpretation. Basically, they're complaining about being a lawyer. So when you are a lawyer, you know what you do? You read a text, and then you try to determine what a text means. You know what you don't do? Interpret a contract like it's poetry. Not a single good lawyer in America. Like, people pay thousands of dollars an hour for lawyers. You know why? Because words mean things. If words didn't mean anything, you wouldn't need lawyers. Otherwise, we would all just sign a piece of paper saying, we agree to blank, and then we could all just kind of go away feeling good about ourselves. The reason that lawyers exist is to be as specific as possible in their verbiage because the words mean a thing. But when it comes to the Constitution, then all of a sudden the left would like Supreme Court justices to interpret constitutional text like poetry. So this means that if you are a justice who tries to interpret the Constitution according to its meaning, you know, in the language of English, this means that you are actually reading your own policy preferences into the document. Now, nobody, again, accuses lawyers of doing this on a regular basis. Nobody accuses their lawyer of reading your rent contract according to their own values. Instead, lawyers are paid to write rent contracts that are as specific as possible to leave no wiggle room. This is the purpose of words, people. When you communicate with somebody else, the whole purpose of communication is that I mean what I mean, and you mean what you mean, and then we have a conversation. It is not, I say a thing, and then you get to interpret that however you please. That defeats the purpose of human communication. But according to the left, justices should do that because they are better and wiser than all of us. And if they don't do that, then they are being rigid in their interpretation. Again, no, it's maddening. As a lawyer, nobody ever accuses somebody of being rigid in their interpretation of a rent contract. It's just a rent contract. It's interpreted according to its text. But as soon as you enter the world of the Constitution, it's like, oh, you're being too rigid. You're reading the words like they read. So Emily Bazelon has this idiotic piece over at the New York Times talking about all of this. In October, the Supreme Court heard a lawsuit from Amy Stevens challenging her termination based on Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which prohibits employers from discriminating on the basis of sex. This is because Stevens is a man. Okay, Stevens is a man who calls himself a woman, and at the end of an upcoming vacation, came back to work as, quote-unquote, her true self. And now she's suing based on Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which prohibits employer from discriminating on the basis of sex. But you're not discriminating on the basis of sex. You're discriminating on the basis of dress, meaning that if a man comes in dressed as a woman and claiming he is a woman, that is a materially different thing from a man coming into work as the gender to which he belongs. But according to the left, Civil Rights Act of 1964 bans this on a federal level. So if you hire an elementary school teacher, Jim, and he shows up tomorrow as Pam, then you have no recourse, none. If you fire that person, then you have violated Title VII of the 64 Civil Rights Act. Now, obviously, everybody understands that the Civil Rights Act never meant to bar that sort of activity by an employer. Because, are you crazy? In 1964, it didn't mean that, and it doesn't mean that today. When members of Congress passed the initial law, when they later amended it, they didn't say they were protecting gay or transgender people, because they clearly were not. The question in front of the court was whether the plain meaning of the word they chose, sex, did so anyway. The court also heard the claims of two gay men who were fired from their jobs. Stevens' lawyer, David Cole, argued she was fired because she didn't conform to her employer's ideas about gender. Stevens didn't fulfill an expectation that applies only to people assigned male sex at birth. Justice Neil Gorsuch, appointed to the Supreme Court by President Trump in 2017, asked Cole, who's the national legal director for the ACLU, how judges should now interpret an old law written in a different era. When the courts interpret the Constitution, Gorsuch subscribes to a theory that you should stick to the text. Cole responded, "We are not asking you to apply any meaning of sex other than the one everyone agrees on as of 1964, which is sex assigned at birth, or, as they put it, biological sex. We're not asking you to rewrite it." Gorsuch said, "I agree with that. Assume for the moment I'm with you on the textual evidence." But that is not exactly what the court wants. The point is this. Gorsuch is saying this is not discrimination on the basis of sex. Right? This is not discrimination on the basis of sex. You're now talking about discrimination on the basis of gender identity, which is a completely different thing. But what the left would like is for Gorsuch to read into the word sex gender identity, which is not in the statute in the first place. And if Gorsuch sticks to the words of the statute, of the Constitution, he's bad. He's bad. So now they're claiming that Gorsuch is actually just a conservative and that he is manipulating the Constitution to meet his desired ends, even though they freely admit that the law was not meant to protect this sort of activity. This is the way that you want to know what undermines trust in American institutions? When you completely destroy the way that the institution is supposed to work for a political end. And this is what the left does on a routine basis. It truly is incredible. The left wants you to rewrite the Constitution when they see fit, and they want you to ignore the Constitution when they see fit, just so they can achieve their desired political ends. And then they will suggest that you are the political actor if you don't do any of that. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be talking about Taylor Swift's new video. Apparently, Taylor Swift is a victim. Did you know this, guys? She's a serious victim. We'll get to that in a moment. First, it may seem obvious at this point with Bernie Sanders as the prospective Democratic nominee for president, but socialism is on the rise, and we should be fighting that at every turn. FreedomWorks is a group dedicated to doing just that. Right now, FreedomWorks is pressuring Congress to support Senator Steve Daines' resolution condemning socialism in America. What's the purpose of that? Well, it gets Democrats on the record either embracing or rejecting socialism, which is a good move. If you'd like to help FreedomWorks get this passed, please text my name, Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 41490 and sign their petition today. Socialism is the death of free enterprise. It is the death of personal rights. It needs to be fought at every turn. FreedomWorks is doing all those sorts of things. When you sign up with FreedomWorks, they're really going to activate you. It's a grassroots movement. This is why we need people to join FreedomWorks right now. Join them. Condemn socialism today by texting Ben to 41490. That is 41490. And sign their petition today. Again, text my name, Ben, to 41490 and help FreedomWorks out in their fight against socialism. We're all part of that fight. Text Ben to 41490. Alrighty, coming up, Taylor Swift has a brand new music video. Remember how Taylor Swift is super rich and super famous? Apparently she's now a victim. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Look at Brian Dolly's record in Sacramento. Dolly voted for amnesty for 11 million illegal aliens, granting them all the rights of citizenship, even though they break our laws. And Dolly voted against President Trump's border security plan. Brian Dolly even praises the liberal assembly speaker from Los Angeles, the leading advocate for sanctuary laws. Living in Sacramento has changed Brian Dolly. Now he's part of the problem.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
After complaints from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a U.S. Air Force base in Illinois removed a commander's name from a prayer breakfast invitation. The MRFF asserts that the commander violated the constitutional rights of the subordinates. But this isn't their first complaint, folks. Other cases involve demanding military services to remove Bibles placed on tables honoring prisoners of war and pressuring the Army and Air Force Exchange Services store to stop selling, quote, Jesus candy. Well, Pacific Justice Institute urges Christians to boldly live out their faith.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Now is pop star never stopping her trying to get woke and to do it publicly for the plaudits of the Twitterati. Right now, it's not enough for her to be a very rich artist and very famous artist and very popular artist. She has to be an important artist. She has to use her voice, guys. She has to use her voice. And so she came out with that ridiculous song last year in which she was like, yeah, gay people. And it was like, okay, you're like 30 years late on this, lady. You are really late on this. And gay marriage was legalized in Obergefell in 2013. You're like half a decade late on this. It was exactly the case from pop star Never Stop Never Stopping, where the artist trying to get woke cuts a gay marriage music video after it's been legal for several years, in which she also insists he's not gay. Okay, so Taylor Swift has been doing that. Well, now she has a new video. And this new video is about feminism. Feminism. So what is feminism really about? It's not about female empowerment. It's not about things that make females unique and cool, which they are. It's about why women are victimized by men, why men have it so great. And it's called The Man. In this video, Taylor Swift, who directed, produced, like this is the very end of her video. It's just her talking about how she did everything because she's so empowered. Yeah, you're worth like $200 million, lady. Like, I'm sure you're capable of doing a lot of these things. She dresses up as a man. And then the basic suggestion of this music video is that her life would be better if she were a man. Now, let me explain a very simple truth. If Taylor Swift were a man, she'd be homeless and living down by the river. Okay, the reality is there are lots of men who write songs like Taylor Swift, and none of them are nearly as popular as Taylor Swift, because there is something to the idea of a sexy woman singing songs to you. This is how she made her career. And for those who don't believe this is the case, let me ask you why you were celebrating Jennifer Lopez strip dancing on a pole. It turns out that human beings like to look at pretty people, and pretty people doing things is a thing that human beings like to look at. So if Taylor Swift had been 400 pounds, she would not be famous. If Taylor Swift had looked like she does in this video, like a man, she would not be famous. Taylor Swift has, of course, again, this is not a rip on her. It's just a simple fact. The fact that she is a very beautiful human being obviously has to do to a large extent with her success. But her suggestion is that if she were a man, her life would be better in some way. All she has received is plaudits from the critics for her wokeness. All she has received for her entire career is basically unending praise. Show me the hardship that Taylor Swift has experienced other than some people being mean to her on Twitter, poor baby. But here she is cutting a video about how her life would be so much better if she were a man.
I would be complex. I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. That would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you.
Okay, pause it for a second. Okay, so this critique that she's making, that males are treated with sort of reverence for conquest and all of this, I actually sort of agree with this critique. Okay, this critique is actually a conservative critique of quote-unquote liberated sexual revolution America. I kind of agree with it. The problem is that her conclusion is that she should be allowed to do the same stuff that men should do, not that men should stop acting like pigs. This is my big critique of large parts of the feminist movement, is that they critique men for being pigs, and then they're like, and so we should also be pigs. I said, well, how about, like, you should just say that men shouldn't be pigs. Like, I'm on board with that one. And this is why it's so hilarious to me to watch the entire left come around to Me Too. Right? Like, I've been on the Me Too bandwagon since before there was a Me Too. Men should never treat women this way. Why is this suddenly a shock to you? Okay, so the critique here is fine. The problem is that the conclusion that she then proceeds to draw is that she should be able to act like a man and then be treated like a man, as opposed to men should stop acting like jackasses. Okay, here is more of this idiotic song.
I'd be a fearless leader. I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can.
Okay, she's sitting there with her legs spread. She's man-spreading and smoking on the subway, which, by the way, is illegal in New York. And, okay, let's pause it there. Now, this is where it gets really stupid, okay? This is where she leaves the realm of reality and just gets into stupid land. So she says, I'd be a fearless leader. I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes you, what's that like? Literally, the entire media worships at the altar of Taylor Swift and calls her a fearless leader and an alpha type. Literally everyone, except for me, apparently. I'll get all sorts of crap for pointing this out, but it happens to be the truth. She says, I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. Okay, physically you would, because men run faster than women, just as a typical rule, on average. But if we're talking about, like, figuratively, which is what you're talking about, that you're sick of running as fast as you can, because if you'd get there quicker if you were a man, if you were a man, you wouldn't be famous. You wouldn't be rich. What the hell are you talking about? She's behind the eight ball, guys. Taylor Swift has been behind the eight ball her entire unbelievably rich and wealthy life. She's been behind the eight ball, guys. And you male songwriters out there lagging in obscurity because you're not an attractive woman who can attract cameras to you? Let me just tell you, you have the advantage. She is not privileged. You are privileged. The whiny victimhood from a woman worth hundreds of millions of dollars is just, like, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. And she'll be celebrated for this because, of course, she is intersectional in the extreme. And then the video is her unzipping and peeing on the wall of the 13th Street station. By the way, if a dude in a Wall Street business suit started peeing on the wall of a New York subway station, you know how fast that person would be arrested? Okay, that just insane. Okay, then the lyrics continue. They'd say I hustled, put in the work. They wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve.
If I was rude, could I be separated from my good ideas and power moves? And they would toast to me, or let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez.
Okay, so again, the insane stupidity of this is just incredible. She says, they'd say I hustle, put in the work, they wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. Last I checked, there's an entire Democratic race being run on the basis that if you earn $1 billion, you didn't deserve it. Michael Bloomberg is being ripped as undeserving. Is he a lady? Okay, every single person who earns in this country and is not a wild, woke leftist is considered to have not earned their money by Taylor Swift and her people. I mean, by people like Taylor Swift of the left. And then in this video, it shows her as a man picking up a child, world's greatest dad, and all of this. You're celebrated for being a great dad. Yes, you should be celebrated for being a great dad. What is the problem with this? I'm confused. Why is that bad now? That women celebrate men who are great dads? That seems like a good thing to do. Again, which critique does she want? Because if she wants to critique men for being pigs, she can't then say that she should be treated well for being pigs. Which is it? Seriously, if you have to decide, is being a pig bad or is being a pig good? If being a pig is good, then what you should be complaining about is that women aren't being pigs enough and that you wish that you could be a pig more. Okay, but if the complaint is that men are pigs, then the complaint should be that men are pigs. What's it like to brag about raking in dollars and getting bitches and models, is one of the lyrics, and it's all good if you're bad, and it's okay if you're mad. Again, when has she been victimized ever? She's a victim? She's a victim. Okay, this is one of my favorite parts of the video. It shows an old man marrying a young lady who shows off like a big ring. And then in this video, that woman ends up being abused by the old man. Right? It's not that the woman freely consented to enter a loveless marriage for the money. Right? It is that the man has somehow taken advantage of the woman and is humiliating her. And that she volunteered in. Okay, she literally shows off in the video this giant ring that she got for marrying an old guy. But all the blame is on the guy for marrying the young woman? Last I checked, she had to consent to the marriage. The whole thing is just ridiculous. But, guys, Taylor Swift is super empowered. She's super-duper empowered in every way, and now I feel like she's woke because she's proclaimed herself a victim. And if she proclaims herself a victim, then she is a victim. And now she'll get to show the video of me talking about her stupid-ass video. She'll get to show the video of this and claim that I'm victimizing her for criticizing her when she is worth more money than God, is more successful in the public sphere than presumably somebody like me will ever be, all because I'm a man. Guess what, Taylor? You're not a victim. You're not a victim. You are the greatest beneficiary of a free American society that treats women pretty damned well, historically speaking. Okay. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR. With your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
After complaints from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a U.S. Air Force base in Illinois removed a commander's name from a prayer breakfast invitation. The MRFF asserts that the commander violated the constitutional rights of the subordinates. But this isn't their first complaint, folks. Other cases involve demanding military services to remove Bibles placed on tables honoring prisoners of war and pressuring the Army and Air Force Exchange Services store to stop selling, quote, Jesus candy. Well, Pacific Justice Institute urges Christians to boldly live out their faith.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Have you ever felt so dizzy you could hardly stand up? You're not alone. Millions of people struggle with dizziness and experience the debilitating symptoms of vestibular dysfunction, such as vertigo, nausea, and ringing in their ears. Vestibular disorders affect people of all ages and can impact ability to work, go to school, or just perform everyday tasks like shopping and getting dressed. Because these symptoms are invisible and difficult to describe, they're often overlooked by doctors and dismissed by family and friends. But there is hope. Visit vestibular.org or call 800-837-8428. If you or someone you know has experienced a persistent sense of dizziness or lack of balance, visit vestibular.org to search for a vestibular specialist in your area. The Vestibular Disorders Association can help you discover a life rebalanced. Visit vestibular.org, that's vestibular.org, or call 800-837-8428.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's a Friday. That means it's time for some mailbagging. So if you're a subscriber at DailyWire.com, there's a good shot that your letter is in today's mailbag. Tyler says, I have a friend who's a vegetarian for ethical reasons, but is aggressively pro-choice. I'm considering pointing out what seems to me to be a contradiction in his view. How would you make the pro-life case to a person who thinks it is murder and exploitation to eat meat, but holds that a woman should have the choice to terminate a pregnancy? Well, yeah, I mean, this seems like a pretty obvious case. The question is, do you think that animal life and human life are the same? If you think that they are, then treating an animal like a human being, even prenatally, might be worthwhile. If you think that humans are worth more than animals, but you don't want to eat animals anyway, which is a perfectly plausible moral position, if you believe that, then certainly you should be anti-abortion. Ask how they would feel if an elephant were aborted. I remember that there are these 3D ultrasound images of elephants in utero that were floating around from National Geographic like 3-4 years ago. And people were like, oh my gosh, look at that. That's amazing. And if you had asked them, okay, how would you feel if we just, you know, carved up the elephant, sucked it out, just flushed it down the sink? Big sink, but you have to flush it down the sink. People would be like, oh, God, that sounds terrible. Why would you possibly do that? But when it comes to a baby, then obviously the math changes a little bit. It definitely shows the convenience of the pro-abortion position, which really is about willful blindness more than it is about any sort of moral principle. Amy says, I have to know how Ann Taylor Loft hurt you so deeply. This is an excellent question. So the reason I suppose that Amy is asking this question is because I always make fun of Elizabeth Warren's sweaters. She's like Doug from the old Nickelodeon cartoon, right? Doug would open his closet and he would always have the same set of sweater vests and white shirt and khaki shorts. And it would be like 7 of them. And that's Elizabeth Warren, except she has sort of a rainbow hued variety of Ann Taylor Loft sweaters. And so I always make fun of her for wearing the Ann Taylor Loft. It didn't hurt me badly. I like Ann Taylor Loft. Got nice stuff. They got nice stuff. Perfect for a mature woman of Elizabeth Warren's age. All I'm pointing out is that I'm fairly certain I know where Elizabeth Warren shops. Ben says, what do you think about laws preventing retailers to provide plastic bags for free? Does your opinion change if instead of this being a law, it is store policy? Well, obviously, my opinion changes if it is store policy as opposed to it being the law. I do not like laws that compel stupid policy. If you want to embrace a stupid policy yourself, I suppose you could do that. But let's be real about this, okay? The plastic bag bans are idiotic. Idiotic. Okay, they're moronic. They actually are not even good for the environment. There's actually a great piece by John Tierney over at City Journal. I read it yesterday about the perversity of the panic over plastic. And he points out that the plastic panic is not justified by reality. He says, the growing amount of plastic debris in the sea is a genuine problem, but it is not caused by our throwaway society. Environmental groups cite a statistic that 80% of plastic debris in the oceans comes from land-based sources, but good evidence has never supported that estimate, and recent research paints a different picture. After painstakingly analyzing debris in the North Central Pacific Ocean, where converging currents create the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, a team of scientists from 4 continents reported in 2018 that more than half the plastic came from fishing boats, mostly discarded nets and other gear. These discards are a great threat to marine animals because they're not getting threatened by plastic bags. They're getting entangled in the nets. Also, the plastic that is discarded on land that does end up in the ocean, it's not coming from the U.S. or Europe. Most of it is coming from Asia because it turns out that governments like China don't care. They just wash that crap right into the sea instead of putting it in a protected landfill. Also, the notion that when you recycle plastic, you're preventing it from polluting the oceans, it is not true. Municipalities originally expected to make money selling their plastic waste to local recyclers, but instead they've had to pay to get rid of it, mostly by shipping it to Asian countries with low labor costs, who then proceed to wash it into the sea. So you're recycling your stuff, and then it gets sent to China, and then China just, like, throws it in the ocean, which is just fantastic. Also, the notion that Single-use plastic bags are the worst environmental choice at the supermarket. Wrong. According to this columnist at City Journal, they are the best choice. High-density polyethylene bags are a marvel of economic, engineering, and environmental efficiency. They're cheap and convenient. They are waterproof. They are strong enough to hold groceries, but thin and light enough that they require scant energy, water, or other natural resources to manufacture and transport. Also, most people typically reuse them as trash can liners, which is true, right? We do that in my house. Once discarded, they take up virtually no room in the landfill. And the fact that they're not biodegradable, that's good, not bad. Why? Well, because when you put biodegradable waste in the landfill, you know what that does? That increases greenhouse gases, like decomposing paper in cotton bags. The bag's tiny quantity of carbon extracted from natural gas goes back underground, and then it is safely sequestered from the atmosphere in a modern landfill with a sturdy lining. Every other grocery bag has a bigger environmental impact, as repeatedly demonstrated by environmental life cycle analyses of the bags and by surveys of consumer behavior. As far as reusing tote bags, people do it, but not as often as they plan to. One survey found consumers forget to bring the bags to the supermarket half the time, which is certainly true, by the way. To offset the initial carbon footprint of a cotton tote bag, you'd have to use it 173 times. Mostly people use it like 15 times. Environmentalists who've looked at these numbers advise Greens to shun cotton bags in favor of plastic tote bags, which is a slight net plus. But one of the problems is when consumers are deprived of the bags they were using as bin liners, they actually start buying plastic substitutes that are thicker. So bottom line is, these plastic bag bans are not only stupid, they are counterproductive. They do not even achieve that which they seek to achieve. And Daniel says, hi, Ben, longtime fan and supporter, absolutely love your show. I have a question about why the Nazi Party is usually referred to as the far right when the Nazi Party stood for National Socialist Workers Party. The answer is the difference between the United States and Europe. By American standards, the Nazis are our left-wing party because the right wing in the United States believes typically in a small, limited government relegated to performing specific functions. And that is very anti-Nazi. Right? I mean, the Nazi Party was all about government interventionism in the economy and corporatism. The reason they are considered right is because in Europe, basically Germany had broken down between the Reds and the Browns. And so the only two choices that were on the ballot in, for example, the 1932 German elections were the Nazis, the brown shirts, and the Reds, the communists. And so if you were not communist, you were considered right wing, because in comparison with the communists, everybody was right wing. So you had the Nazis attacking the communists and the communists attacking the Nazis. And that was the difference between right and left. So the Nazis, in comparison to the communists, were right wing because many of them were Christian. Many of them believed in higher standards higher sort of social standards. Like they kicked back against what they considered the degradation of culture. When I say many of them were Christians, I don't mean that the leadership of the Nazi Party was Christian. It was not. Or that the leadership of the Nazi Party treated Christianity well. It did not. What I mean is that in contravention of the pitch of communism, which was atheist in orientation, the Nazis were not at the beginning overtly anti-Christian in quite the same way. They quickly became overtly anti-Christian in a very different way. Okay, with that said, the Nazis were only right-wing by European standards. They were not right-wing by American standards under any stretch of the imagination. And to pretend that the Nazis were right-wing by American standards is to completely misunderstand American conservatism, which in Europe would be called classical liberalism. Orlando says, what are your thoughts on private prisons? I feel like the only one that sees the potential good and benefit to them in being able to afford higher quality facilities, healthcare, and rehabilitation resources that state-run corrections cannot afford. I don't have a general problem with private prisons. I don't, as long as they're held responsible for torts and as long as there's a good oversight mechanism. But the basic idea that everything has to be run via the state, I don't know why state-run prisons are considered any better than private prisons. I haven't seen tremendous evidence to that effect. Brad asks, do you think this newfound opposition to Bernie Sanders within the media and Democratic Party is because they've realized that having an actual Marxist in office is bad for the country, or are they just afraid of losing? Thanks. I think that there are some Democrats who actually have ideologically antagonistic views toward communism. I do. I think there are some Democrats who believe this. I think James Carville is one of these people, by the way. I know a lot of Democrats who are not pro-communist. For most of American history, Democrats were not pro-communist. From the Cold War, many of the greatest communist fighters were Democrats. But I think that for a large part of the Democratic base at this point, it really is about convenience. I think that they want to get to the same place as Bernie Sanders. They just don't want to take the same pathway there. And they are very much afraid of the electoral consequences of following Bernie Sanders down this rabbit hole. And the fact is that Bernie Sanders does not want a European-style system. If he did, and you were honest about it, even that is not electable. Okay, in a second, we're going to get to more of your emails in the mailbag. Also, more of your calls at 855-236-3228. First, let's talk about making your business more efficient. How? Well, whether you're doing a million, 10 million, or hundreds of millions in revenue, you need NetSuite by Oracle. Why? You need an eye on your data at all times. We here at the Daily Wire are supremely data-focused, and this means we need a central clearinghouse for data. You do, too. With NetSuite, You get a full picture of your business, finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place directly from your phone or computer. NetSuite will give you the visibility and control you need to make the right decisions and grow with confidence, which is why NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. It's trusted by more than 19,000 companies. It is the last system you will ever need, NetSuite, because business grows here. Schedule your free product tour right now. Get a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben. Again, netsuite.com/Ben, netsuite.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Make your business more efficient. Get all that data aggregated in one place, netsuite.com/Ben. Once more, netsuite.com/Ben. Austin asks, I agree with the talks of Donald Trump needing a strong economy coming into the election. However, with the market decrease and all of the news that's coming along with it, will that affect Trump's electability? Love the show. Thanks for everything. Well, obviously, if the economy starts to stagnate or slip into recession, that will obviously impact Trump. Because Trump's main pitch is the economy is strong under me. You don't want to change courses. Right? Don't change horses in the middle of this particular stream. This horse is strong. Just keep riding it. Well, if the economy were to tank, that changes fairly radically. Also, Bernie Sanders does give him more room to work with. I mean, if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, then Trump doesn't have to make the case that the economy is supremely strong in order to win. He just has to make the case that Bernie will tank the economy, which happens to be true. Okay, but am I concerned about the economic downturn that could attend coronavirus? Absolutely. We just don't have enough information at this point. Some analysts say that as information comes out, if it turns out that this thing is not quite as bad as people are sort of worried that it may be, that the economy bumps really quickly and that you get a V-shaped recovery by the end of the year, that obviously would be quite good. But if the economy really does start to stagnate, of course that's a danger to President Trump's second term. Dear Mr. Shapiro, says Golda, what is the difference between love and infatuation and how can you tell? How do I know if he's the one? Any advice you have would be appreciated. Excellent, excellent question. So there are two types of love. There is passionate love and then there is companionate love. And one of the things that married people know, and this is just a fact of life, is that when you first start dating somebody, passionate love is really high and companionate love is really low. Companionate love is shared values. Loving somebody as a companion as opposed to just somebody that you want to be with all the time and somebody who you passionately want to make love to 83 hours a day, right, and all of this. All this kind of stuff is very common at the beginning of a relationship. Jonathan Haidt, in his book, The Righteous Mind, actually talks about some of this. He talks about it more in another book that he has about happiness called The Happiness Hypothesis. The fact is that what happens in the course of a long-term relationship with somebody is that passionate love starts to decrease and companionate love starts to rise. And this is why you see old people who hang out with each other all the time. Are they as passionate about each other as they were when they first met? No, because that's not natural, right? Because at the beginning, your hormones are running extremely high and you don't have any commitment. And so passionate love is like, I want to be there. Passionate love in part comes from insecurity. So you want to be there all the time. Passionate love starts to decline and companionate love starts to rise. Well, a solid marriage and a solid relationship are based more on companionate love than passionate love. Now, passionate love shouldn't go down to zero. It shouldn't be passionless. But if you think that every moment of a marriage is going to be like the first moment you met somebody, that is just not the case. It is just inaccurate. And so you need to ask yourself in a relationship, passionate love has to be there at the beginning. It does. It's important. But are the elements for companionate love there? And that is why I always urge people, date with a mind toward marriage. And what I mean like that is this the person you want to raise children with? Is this a person you want to be the father or mother of your children? Is this a person you share values with? Is this a person you want to hang out with when you're old and wrinkly? And when you're not both young and good looking, but when you're old and wrinkly and your bowels aren't working properly, is this the person that you want to hang out with? You have to think about these sorts of things when you decide to get involved in a long-term relationship. The passionate part of a relationship is the easiest part. It is because people are constantly running around in search of the passion, which is fun and intoxicating and wild. It's because they're looking for that they change relationships pretty often, because studies tend to show that within the first couple of years, passionate love, it's like the first 2 years, passionate love is very high, and then it starts to sort of decline gradually. Meanwhile, companionate love really swings on the upswing. What you should recognize is that passionate love always will be important, but it is certainly not as important for the virality and the usefulness and the durability of a long-term relationship as companionate love. So look for the elements of companionate love if you wish to have a successful long-term relationship. Okay, in just a minute, we'll get to more of your calls at 855-236-3228. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your emails in our mailbag. You can go to dailywire.com and subscribe to be part of that mailbag. And we are also taking your calls at 855-236-3228. Clint in Sumter, South Carolina. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Clint.
Hey, how you doing, Ben? First, I'd like to humbly ask you to roll mo over your R's during your commentary because it is really funny when you do it. But my question is, I, like you, also think that Bernie Sanders is generally bad for the country at the top of a Democratic ticket. And I was wondering if you think as a conservative slash Republican voting tomorrow, if voting for Biden would be a good thing to, you know, boost his numbers a little bit or voting at all. I'm just worried about it in general.
Yeah, you know, Clint, my general take on this sort of stuff is I'm not a fan of when Democrats try to vote in Republican primaries, and I'm not a fan of when Republicans try to vote in Democratic primaries. I know there's all this sort of strategic thought. I know some of my fellow hosts have encouraged Republicans to cross party lines and vote in open primaries. My feeling is that you're really playing with the monkey's paw, that at a certain point you're trying to wish somebody else into the nomination, and really you kind of have to get out of the way and let the Democrats choose who they're going to choose. I could see a world in which, you know, you go and you cross party lines in order to vote for Biden, and Biden goes on and beats Trump, and then you regret it, or you cross party lines in order to vote for Sanders because you think Sanders is more likely to lose to Trump, and then Sanders beats Trump, and then you feel bad about it. Like, I just don't think that Republicans honestly should be deciding who the Democratic nominee is. I think Democrats should decide who the Democratic nominee is. I think open primary systems are idiotic. And so if I were you, I'd frankly stay out of it. Now, you're in South Carolina. What's your feel down there for how things are going?
Well, similarly, I voted for Obama back in 2008, and obviously we see how that went. But, you know, I feel like this election is just a little bit different considering who Bernie Sanders is and his ideologies. And obviously, I don't want to make the same mistake again. But, and, you know, like I said before, along with you, I think he's just a dangerous candidate for our country.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I think he's a disaster. I just think that, again, better news for Republicans to stay out of business that is not ours. And it is not our job to pick the Democrats nominee for them. Clint, really appreciate the call. Ezra in New York, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Ezra.
Hey, Ben. Thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Go for it, sir.
I was wondering, theoretically, what do you think would be a better system, an electoral college system or a popular vote?
So I do like the electoral college. The reason I like the electoral college is specifically because the American system is a system that takes into account states. It takes into account localities. I think that the presidency is just becoming increasingly powerful. The electoral college has become more and more of an issue and more powerful. I understand the case for a popular vote system. I really do. Every person's vote counting exactly the same. But the reality is that one of the questions is whether you believe that you would stay in a system where you're perennially doomed to lose. And if you are in a smaller state and you are never campaigned to because you live in a smaller state and everybody just hangs out all the time in Boston, New York, L.A., and Chicago, then why would you consent to be ruled by a group of people far away from you who are being pandered to by politicians? The Electoral College at least makes Democrats and Republicans run a sort of national campaign and take into account interests that are not going to be represented popularly maybe as much as they should be in terms of what is necessary to keep a democracy going. In order for a democracy or a republic to continue, people who lose an election have to feel that the risks of breaking away are greater than the risks of staying. And if you are constantly losing elections because you're being ignored, I think that that actually increases the risk that there's going to be more of this tribalism and polarization in American politics, Ezra.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good show.
Really appreciate it. Brandon in Washington State, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Brandon.
Hey, thanks, Ben, for taking my call. big fan. So my question is kind of about the Medicare for All system that the Democrats are pitching. You played the clip from Pramila Jayapal the other day where she stated that nobody likes the health care but instead likes their doctors. As someone who likes my health care and my doctors, it concerns me that even though, as cited the other day, most people, when asked about it, can't explain it and how it changes the health care in this country, there seems to be this kind of insane amount of support for it from the left. Do you think that this level of ignorance about the supposed number one thing of importance in this election is because so many people only seem to and are so used to getting their information from the news media, who, as we saw from the other day with the David Wright thing, obviously buries stories or the truth and gives a biased and muted opinion of importance issues? Or are we just so kind of numb to politics and the like that people don't want to bother to educate themselves anymore?
I mean, I think most people,
even what they call the most important topic.
Brandon, I think most people have not taken a serious amount of time to study politics. I mean, even top-rated shows, like the shows on Fox News may have 3.5 million viewers a night in a country of 330 million people. I just don't think people pay attention all that much to this sort of stuff. And when they hear Medicare for All, what they think that means is a public option. They think that means, okay, I fall off of my medical insurance and now I will be able to opt into Medicare. They think that it means expansion of opportunities for people who are lower down on the economic scale. They don't understand that what it means is the abolition of private insurance. And when they are told that it means the abolition of private insurance, they are not for Medicare for All. This is the case that Pete Buttigieg has been making and Amy Klobuchar have been making. The possibility of a public option is a lot more popular than the mandate of a public mandate. Now, with that said, even once people understand what the public option is, it becomes a lot less popular. The idea that you are going to be subsidizing a standard of care that eventually is going to run private insurance out of the business and that is going to create an incentive for employers to toss out your private health care insurance and toss you onto Medicare anyway. Like that scares people. People do not want to lose their health insurance. They shouldn't want to lose their health insurance. But as far as people going along with the storyline, or are they just uneducated? I mean, the answer is some of both. If you're uneducated, you're more likely to go along with the storyline. If you don't know anything, it's much easier to buy into the line that's being sold to you by the media. Brandon, really appreciate the call. Trevor in Colorado, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Trevor.
Quick backstory. I'm a vet and deal with the VA on a regular basis. Last year, I felt a mass in my pec. And wanted to schedule a cancer screening, but the soonest the VA could get me in was 2 months out. Seeing as every day counts with early detection, I found that unacceptable and started calling local scanning facilities. Once I found one that accepted males, I was able to pay out of pocket and get scanned the next day. My question is, do you see universal health care operating in a similar fashion as the current system for veterans today?
100%. And it's one of the reasons why I know there are people in Congress who have been stumping to allow veterans more options outside of the VA health care system. The VA health care system is good for what it's good for, namely like emergency care, but and maybe for gradual upkeep. But for emergency situations where you have a situation like yours, for real disease situations, VA healthcare has been sadly lacking. Obviously, we've been seeing serious VA problems for years on end. Trevor, really, thank you so much for what you do for the country. And obviously, I think your take on the VA is exactly right. And I'm glad to hear that you're doing better, sir. All righty. Well, tomorrow is the South Carolina primary, Joe Biden's last gasp, or Joe Biden's big comeback. We are going to find out very shortly. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump challenging criticism of his administration's response to coronavirus virus outbreak.
We have the best professionals in the world, the best in the world, and we are so ready. At the same time that I initiated the first federally mandated quarantine in over 50 years. We had to quarantine some people.
Meanwhile, health officials have confirmed the second case of novel coronavirus in the United States, believed to have been transmitted to a person who didn't travel internationally or come in close contact with anyone who had it. President Trump again naming Congressman John Ratcliffe for the position of Director of National Intelligence to oversee 17 U.S. agencies.
In a tweet earlier, Mr. Trump says, quote, I am pleased to announce the nomination of Representative Ratcliffe to be the Director of National Intelligence. He would have completed the process earlier, but John wanted to wait until after the IG report was finished. John is a man of great talent, unquote. The president had nominated the two-term Republican congressman from Texas last summer, and at that time, the president subsequently withdrew the nomination amid some questions about Ratcliffe's qualifications for the job in the field of intelligence. George Bonzani reporting.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo highlighted the Trump administration's foreign policy accomplishments during a speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland.
Can anyone in this room remember a better time to be an American conservative? We are safer than ever. Our economy is more prosperous than ever, and President Trump will not stop winning.
Pompeo also addressed pro-life supporters at CPAC by saying that the Trump administration has prohibited federal money from going to international groups that perform or promote abortion services.
President Trump understands deeply that abortion isn't a human right. It takes a human life.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
This is what flow from Progressive sounds like in one of our many hilarious commercials.
You and basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year. I know, right? Do you think I say I know right too often? I do. I know, right? I have to stop, don't I? I know.
And
right?
This is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle.
I know.
Yeah, even our commercials are better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
The European Union has welcomed Kosovo's decision to partially lift a 100% tariff on Serbian goods, but as correspondent Jeremy House reports, the United States said that the tariff must be dropped completely.
Prime Minister Albin Kurti said the measure would come into effect from March 15th and would only apply to imported raw materials from neighboring Serbia. The U.S. Special Envoy for Serbia and Kosovo peace negotiations, Richard Grenell, said he did not support, quote, Kurti's half measure and considered it a serious mistake. A statement from the EU spokesperson welcomed Kurti's move as a first step.
Serbia refuses to accept Kosovo's 2008 Declaration of Independence. The presidents of Turkey and Russia spoke by phone Friday to try to defuse tensions that rose significantly in Syria after 33 Turkish troops were killed in an airstrike blamed on the Syrian government and a new wave of refugees and migrants. News and analysis at townhall.com. U.S. regulators have proposed fining the four major U.S. phone companies more than $200 million combined for improperly disclosing customers' real-time location to other companies. Correspondent Keith Peters has more on the story.
Location data makes it possible to identify the whereabouts of nearly any phone in the U.S. within seconds. According to published reports, wireless companies had allowed data brokers to pinpoint the location of wireless devices without their owner's knowledge or consent. The Federal Communications Commission announced the proposed fines Friday. The amounts were $91 million for T-Mobile, $57 million for AT&T, $48 million for Verizon, and $12 million for Sprint. Companies can object to the proposed fines. Critics said the FCC took too long and the proposed fines were too low. Keith Peters reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars on the 2019 Dodge Charger and Challenger, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in the Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger with available 485 horsepower. So come in to your local Dodge dealer now. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 3-2-2020. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be talking about that South Carolina primary that is happening tomorrow, plus an insane video from a young woman on TikTok celebrating her abortion. We'll talk about that. We begin, however, with your update on coronavirus. The stock market just taking an absolute beating this week, a brutal beating this week. The week started with the stock market at about 29,000. The stock market today looks like it is plummeting about another 1,000 points. It's going to finish maybe below 25,000 again, which is just bad news, obviously. It demonstrates the amount of uncertainty surrounding coronavirus. Now, there are people out there, believe it or not, who are trying to suggest that the stock market dump is Trump's fault, that the uncertainty is Trump's fault. On the list of factors affecting coronavirus and the stock market, Trump ain't in the top 10. He's not. That list of factors would include the fact that this thing broke out in China in the first place because people were eating the frickin' bats. Don't eat bats, you idiots. And then it turns out that China quashed all news of this, preventing the dissemination of information that would have allowed quarantining by other countries of Chinese citizens moving abroad from Wuhan. And then there's the problem of structural weakness, structural fragility in supply chains that go through China. So when you shut down a factory in China, it affects everywhere. And then there are the problems of systemic weakness in European markets that have been propped up by central bank inflation for a while here. That was ongoing. So the minute that the economy started to take a downturn, Europe could tip into recession very, very easily. You notice something that isn't in the list of factors here? Trump. Because Trump really has nothing to do with any of this stuff. And yet the media are treating it as though the biggest problem here is the Trump administration somehow botching the response. There's no evidence at this point that the response has been botched. It really has not. I mean, there's not a lot of evidence to that effect at all. Nonetheless, people calling for central banks to fix this thing, that is not going to work. Okay, the major averages, according to CNBC, were under pressure on Friday in part because investors kept adding to their bond market exposure and fleeing equities. The benchmark U.S. 10-year Treasury yield touched a fresh record low. That means that there's intense demand for bonds because people are very uncertain about the economy. New Zealand and Nigeria reported overnight their first coronavirus cases. South Korea confirmed more than 500 new cases. China reported 327 additional cases. More than 200 people have died in Iran of coronavirus. Lynn Ann Sunders, chief investment strategist at Charles Schwab, says the reason it's all happening so quickly is because the momentum going up was so great. The hedge funds, the algorithmic trading, the quants, they play on momentum, which is right. which is right. Patrick Hennessy, head trader at IPS, he says, people have been so preconditioned to buy the dip and to always expect the market to recover that people can get smacked around with moves like this, because if you bought too early, then you ended up in a little bit of trouble. Meanwhile, there's talk about expanding inflationary pursuit of the stock market. You can't do this endlessly, guys. The Fed is not meant to just prop up the stock market every time the stock market drops a little bit. That is not what the Fed is there to do. And using the Fed as an all-purpose solution means that you're going to run out of bullets because the interest rates are already pretty low. Already you've seen Europe move into the territory of full-on negative interest rates, basically paying people to borrow money. According to CNBC, however, former Federal Reserve Governor Kevin Warsh said Friday he expects the Fed and other central banks around the world to act soon in response to the coronavirus outbreak. He recommended the Fed act as quickly as Sunday to assuage financial markets that have been in an aggressive swoon all weekend as the virus has spread. Now, one of the reasons that happens is that, let's say you're a business. Now, say you took out business loans, and now those loans are due, but you haven't been able to get new money in because you haven't been able to sell product because of the supply chain disruptions. Okay, so normally, you'd expect banks to call in those loans in a state of panic. If central banks decide to extend further lines of credit, then maybe people are a little bit less overt about calling in their loans, a little bit less aggressive about calling in their loans. That would be the idea. But again, the reality here is that once you fire those bullets, you're going to run out of those bullets pretty quickly. Mohammed El-Aryan, who has been a guest on this program, and of course is the chief economic advisor at Allianz, said on Thursday the Federal Reserve will not be able to stop financial markets from freezing. He says you need a lot of cash and very little debt to navigate what's ahead because markets will start freezing up again, even if the Fed cuts rates, which I think it will. He said the economy will need a medical solution to the outbreak to recover and that the Fed cutting rates is not going to be able to help. In other words, what we've got here is a problem of coronavirus. We don't have an economic problem. We don't have a problem of firms that are not doing their best in terms of business. What we have here is very simple. People don't want to go outdoors and they don't want to spend. And he doesn't think that banks are going to start calling in loans on a dramatic level at this point, presumably, because of coronavirus. Everybody sort of expects that coronavirus will wane and then business will move on as normal. That's why, despite the fact that the stock market has dropped a lot this week, I'm not sensing the sort of panic in economic circles that you would expect with a huge stock market drop like this. Everybody sort of expects a V-shaped recovery. In other words, once we know more about coronavirus, then this thing's going to bounce. Right? It's not going to be a U-shaped recovery, right? A gradual slope down and then a gradual slope up. Instead, you expect a V-shaped recovery, a sharp drop and a sharp increase once the threat of coronavirus is alleviated a little bit. The problem, of course, is that we have no idea what the hell is going on, and that's on China. That's not on the United States. So relying on central bankers to fix this thing is a mistake. Again, even that former Federal Reserve Governor Warsh, he says the Fed doesn't have a lot of ammo to help markets and the economy. He said they've got a knife and there's a gunfight. That's right. What we actually need is better, more information about coronavirus. With that said, a senior U.S. health official told lawmakers that the coronavirus that is spreading globally is unlikely to disappear next year and that many more cases should be expected in the United States. Anthony Fauci, who heads the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, also told House of Representative members in a closed briefing the United States currently does not have enough coronavirus testing resources. But again, we're going to have to ramp that up fairly dramatically. And the spread is not that fast in the United States as of yet. We only have, I believe, 60 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the United States in a country of 330 million people. With that said, we have not begun to really deploy the vast resources of the United States government yet. We also haven't called on, there are no widespread quarantines, there are no mandatory quarantines, and people are still going to public events. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said that the coronavirus is likely to cause disruptions to everyday life in the United States, like school closures and changes to public transportation. He says probably we'll see some schools shut down. Maybe we'll see some impacts on public transportation, but we know how to handle this. He also said, I'd like to calm the markets and tell people to turn their TV off for 24 hours because there's no new information. So that seems about right. Nonetheless, if you even suggest that maybe people ought to calm down for the moment until there's new information, then you are accused of shutting down all information. And this is the media's line. This is the Democrats' line, that if you tell people to calm down in the face of a coronavirus epidemic that has not yet happened in the United States, then this is because you're whistling past the graveyard. We don't know that yet. We simply don't know. Saying I don't know is kind of verboten in American politics, but nobody knows a thing at this point. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about something deeply important, keeping your memories. So here's the reality. Your life is so dependent on the memories you hold, the quality of your life, the things that matter to you in life. And this is why you should go check out Legacy Box right now, because out in your garage, you got a bunch of memories, and they are just falling apart, right? You got them on VHS tapes. You have a VCR. You got them on old film reels from your grandpa. You don't have any sort of film projector. You ought to get all that transferred over and digitized. The way to do this, check out Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish is incredibly easy. You just pack it up and you send it over. Their team digitizes everything by hand, and then you receive perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud, ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Plus, they keep you up to date with regular email updates throughout the digitizing process. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. They've helped over 750,000 families digitally preserve their past. It's a really, really important thing to do, and makes a fantastic gift for friends and family. We're doing it for my parents right now, sending in all their old materials to Legacy Box, having those digitized. They'll get it back on a thumb drive. They'll be able to download it. It'll be great. Go to legacybox.com/radio today. Get an incredible 40% off your first order. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/radio. Save 40% while supplies last. So the media, of course, have been treating this as though the Trump administration is trying to shut down information. That is not the case. The Trump administration has been trying to get a halt on the chaotic spread of information, some of which may not be coordinated. Nonetheless, you end up with Brian Stelter ripping Fox News for its coverage, because the fact is that Fox News keeps pointing out correctly that the media are upplaying this thing and panicking people.
These are people who are, for some reason, only making this about politics, trying to focus only on politics, and that's because they are hammers. So all they see are nails. Sean Hannity exists in his mind to defend Donald Trump, no matter what. And so he is making this about Trump when ultimately it is not. I wish I could just laugh at it. I wish I could write it off as being unimportant, but it's reprehensible for them to be out there saying that the media is trying to take down Trump,
Brian, it's not
trying to weaponize fear.
It's
There's
not
real
just,
consequences
and it's not
for that.
Okay, but the media are trying to take down Trump, and they are trying to weaponize fear. I mean, that's true. That is true. It's why they're talking about Trump incessantly with regard to coronavirus. The causes of coronavirus have nothing to do with Trump. So far, we have seen very little evidence that the federal government is botching the response. Doesn't matter. They're covering this thing wall to wall. And then if you respond and you say, guys, you're covering this wall to wall without enough information, then you are proclaimed politicizing this thing. Again, I don't have to, like, exaggerate what Democrats are doing. They're out there doing it on the campaign trail. Here was Joe Biden yesterday saying that President Trump is silencing the experts. I don't actually see the evidence for this.
I'm most concerned about the media economic impact than I am about whether or not we gain control of this. The idea that the experts are not allowed to speak, the president has silenced them. Dr. Fauci, who was in three administrations, worked in our administrations. We took care of Ebola. The idea that the whistleblower came out today saying that the people we sent to the airbase to receive incoming folks were not trained. They didn't have the right suits on. This is time. Let the experts take this over.
Okay, well, President Trump has let the experts take it over. And then he's saying we ought to coordinate our response. And the response is that they're botching it. Yeah, that's politicizing it right there. By the way, the whistleblower complaint he's mentioning is the whistleblower suggested that when people came back from this Diamond Princess cruise near Japan and that they were at the airport, that federal officials went and they didn't have the proper gear. We don't know if that's true yet. We don't have the evidence yet. And we have no evidence that any of those people were infected yet. So it doesn't matter. Biden's out there just spreading this stuff for political gain. Michael Bloomberg's doing the same thing. He came out, he said, of course Americans shouldn't trust President Trump to handle this. How is that helpful? How about, like, there are experts in the federal government. It's their job to do what they're going to do, and let's wait to see. How about like that for a start?
Do you trust and should Americans trust President Trump to deal with this crisis?
No. He is not prepared for a crisis like this. Quite the contrary. He fired the pandemic specialist 2 years ago. He's defunded or unfunded or reduced the funding for Centers for Disease Control. He's had 1,600 scientists leave the government in the first 2 years of his office. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you have to have trained people who have practiced working together and established trust in each other and know where to go.
Okay, so there's no evidence that Trump has cut the CDC. There's no evidence that Trump has cut the NIH. There's no evidence that at the top levels there are scientists missing. The federal response has been basically what the federal response always is. So when Mick Mulvaney, the Office of Management and Budget Head, Chief of Staff to President Trump, points out that the media are in fact using the coronavirus to attack Trump, that is undeniably true. It is 100% true.
We took extraordinary steps 4 or 5 weeks ago. Why didn't you hear about it? What was still going on 4 or 5 weeks ago? Impeachment. And that's all the press wanted to talk about. So that while real news was happening and we were dealing with it in a way that I think you folks would be extraordinarily proud of and that was serving the nation extraordinarily well. The press was covering their hoax of the day because they thought it would bring down the president. The reason you're paying so much attention to it today is that they think this is going to be what brings down the president. That's what this is all about.
Okay, when it comes to the press coverage, I'm not going to say that's all what it's about, but it's certainly a large part of it. This is why there's so much press coverage about what President Trump says. I mean, there are two separate articles in the Washington Post today talking about how Trump is mean to members of his staff and how this is going to make us all die of coronavirus or something. The evidence just ain't there. In just a second, we're going to be having on Peter Brooks from the Heritage Foundation talking specifically about coronavirus, its impact, how the government should be handling all of this. But first, let's talk about your company. So, a lot of economic volatility out there. Wouldn't it be great to know that your company is running as efficiently as humanly possible? Well, you could know that. If only you had NetSuite by Oracle. Whether you're doing a million, 10 million, or hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, NetSuite by Oracle gives you the tools you need to accelerate your growth. With NetSuite, you get a full picture of your business, finance, inventory, HR, customers, and more. It's everything you need to grow, all in one place, directly from your phone or computer. NetSuite will give you the visibility and control you need to make the right decisions and grow with confidence, which is why NetSuite customers grow faster than the S&P 500. NetSuite. NetSuite, it's the world's number one cloud business system. It's trusted by more than 19,000 companies. Yours could be next. It's the last system you'll ever need. NetSuite, business grows here. Schedule your free product tour right now. Receive your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben. netsuite.com/Ben. Once more, netsuite.com/Ben. Make your business more efficient. Make sure that you have control of all your data. Save yourself time. Save yourself money. netsuite.com/Ben. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Peter Brooks from the Heritage Foundation to talk about coronavirus and what it means. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey, cyber criminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
I'm Kelsey Wiggins, a teacher in Gilmore City Bradgate School District in Iowa. Thanks to a science, technology, engineering, and math grant sponsored by Bear Fund, we renovated an old locker room into a monarch butterfly incubator, providing students with access to innovative technology that engages and inspires them. I encourage farmers to nominate a school district to apply for a $15,000 Grow Rural Education grant by visiting americasfarmers.com.
Furnished by Bear Fund.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined online by Peter Brooks. He's a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, focusing on weapons of mass destruction and counterproliferation at the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy. He also happens to be an expert on pandemics. He's joining us online to discuss coronavirus. Peter, let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus outbreak. So right now, it seems to me that everybody is sort of speculating in the absence of information. We don't know the death rate. We don't know the transmission rate. And this is causing tremendous volatility and panic. And yet the media are focusing in for some reason on President Trump. Do I have this right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's the case. I mean, I'm very comfortable with what the administration has done. And if you look at the numbers, we're talking about 16 cases here in the United States, and then another 40-some plus that came from the Diamond Princess overseas on that cruise ship. And we've not had any deaths here in the United States, fortunately. We are concerned about this one patient that doesn't seem to have traveled overseas or been in contact with anybody with coronavirus, and we've had a number of people who have recovered. So I think the president is doing, and the administration is doing a very solid job on this. They've done all the things I would have said they should have done in developing a task force, getting information out, education campaigns, limiting travel to China. And they were caught on their back heels, and so was everybody else, by what the Chinese did, you know, with their cover-up and the lack of transparency and the unwillingness to engage in international cooperation and coordination on this epidemic.
So, Peter, what exactly should the federal government be doing in these cases? Because I know the CDC has plans in place to deal with the flu. We're already hearing rumors about shortages of testing kits, for example.
Yep.
What would the federal government role normally be here? And is the federal government really being caught up short here, as the media seem to be suggesting?
No, I think the administration is doing a much better job than you would see in most of the media. I mean, all the media, that's a big term, right? And I think some are giving them the credit that they're due. But there are challenges, right? This is a dynamic situation. We're dealing with this virus in over 50 countries and territories around the world. Not just here in the United States. We're concerned about what's happening over there and how this virus might be spreading. There are concerns about the supply chain, for instance. You know, a lot of our generic drugs, the active ingredients are sourced out of China. Car parts, you've probably heard about that. You know, there could be economic effects and there could be disruptions of everyday life. But, you know, if I go down my checklist of what the administration should be doing, I think they've done most of it. One of the real challenges has been the development and distribution of test kits. To test if somebody who may have flu-like symptoms, but is not testing positive for the flu, whether they might have this COVID-19.
So with all of this said, you know, what do you put the risk effects in the United States at? I know that's a hard question to answer, given the fact that you could have, you know, some sort of explosive outbreak in a place.
Sure.
But with that said, I mean, right now we have 60 people in a country of 330 million people who have actually been diagnosed with coronavirus. As you say, the vast majority of these people have mild cases. Nobody has actually died in the United States. It seems, by the way, like the death rates really do vary widely by country. It seems like the death rate in Iran is...
We have a great public health system. And in fact, it's number one in the world, like the president said. And that's by an independent organization, Johns Hopkins, The Economist magazine, and a National Nuclear Threat Initiative did a study last year on health security around the world. The United States is considered to be the best. So we have very good public health. And if you contrast that with what, for instance, is going on in Iran, where the death rate is very high, that's because of the difference in the public health system. But more to your point, I mean, you know, we are concerned. What I'm concerned about, and I think others are concerned about, is the fact that we're having a very heavy flu season this year. And there's a concern that before we knew about coronavirus, that there were people that may have been infected with it, tested negative for flu, and are out in the population. Remember, you know, China found out about this, or kind of in December, early December. They covered it up for 3 weeks until early January, and I think it probably goes back into November in China. On a general day, there are 8,000 to 10,000 Chinese or people from China. They could be Americans or whatever, but 8 travelers from China a day land in the United States. We didn't put the travel restrictions in place until February, early February. So a lot of people could have traveled here that could have been infected. People could have had coronavirus. They could have recovered from it. They could have had mild-like symptoms, flu-like symptoms, never went to a doctor, never were hospitalized. So there could be people in the population that could be affected, could be transmitting. What we're seeing right now, and once again, we're still early on in this situation, is that about 80% of the people suffer mild to medium sort of symptoms or issues in terms of illness. So they may just stay home for a couple of days. And there's questions about its communicability. Like, what period is it able to be? Are you contagious and able to infect other people? So there are a lot of questions out there right now that we're struggling with. But I think the administration is taking the right steps to try to deal with that.
Well, Peter Brooks, really appreciate your time and really appreciate the information. And it is amazing how much misinformation is floating around out there in the absence of actual good information. Peter, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about South Carolina tomorrow. Is it Joe Biden's last stand, or is it the beginning of Joe Biden's long-awaited comeback? We're about to find out. There's some brand new polls. Plus, is Michael Bloomberg prepared to really harm Joe Biden more than anybody else on Super Tuesday, considering the fact that he is splitting votes with Joe Biden in a bevy of states? We'll be getting to that momentarily. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The bond we share with our pets is undeniable. They fill us with love, comfort, and joy, and they deserve the same. As pet owners, we want to care for and protect our pets. Sadly, in homes where domestic violence occurs, pets are often victims too. Hi, I'm Russell Wilson. Each year, millions of domestic violence victims stay in abusive situations because they fear for the safety of their pet. With less than 10% of domestic violence shelters allowing pets, too many lives remain at risk. Victims of domestic violence should never have to make a choice between their own safety and the safety of their loved ones, including pets. That's why the Banfield Foundation supports programs that provide temporary shelter and veterinary care so people and pets can find safety together. Because when we help pets, we help people too. To learn more and get involved, visit banfieldfoundation.org/safertogether.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So tomorrow is Joe Biden's maybe last stand. And the polls are sort of all over the place, just a little bit. I mean, really, in South Carolina. So I've seen a bunch of polls in South Carolina. Some have Biden up as much as 20 points. Some have Biden up as little as 4 points. The Real Clear Politics polling average right now has Biden up about 12 points on Bernie Sanders. A late surge by Biden could really have him blowing out Sanders. Tom Steyer is running a very narrow second or third to Bernie Sanders in these polls. And so what that could mean is a comeback for Joe Biden. Now, the problem is that once you move beyond South Carolina, he hasn't invested any resources because he didn't have any resources. And so when you move to states like Texas, for example, you see that Bernie Sanders is actually now leading the Democratic primary in Texas with 29% of the vote. Joe Biden and Michael Bloomberg, Biden has 20, Bloomberg has 18, Warren has 15. So you could see Biden get a real bump from South Carolina in some place like Texas. Michael Bloomberg continues to have some fairly solid above 15% numbers. Now, remember, to get delegates, you have to have above 15% in a lot of these states. But the fact is that Bloomberg, if he's cutting into anybody's support at this point, he's cutting into Joe Biden's support. Now, does that really harm Biden in the end? It harms Biden. It doesn't really harm the Democratic Party in one sense. The fact is that the 538 estimate right now has a 52% chance that no one wins the nomination with a majority of delegates at this point for the Democrats, which is full-on disaster area. I mean, full-scale disaster. It means that one in two odds that somebody, that no one goes into the convention with a majority of delegates. Bernie only has about a 29% shot of going in with a majority of delegates. Biden's at 17%. So heavy, heavy odds at this point on no one wrapping up the nomination before it is time to wrap up the nomination, which means in all likelihood that Bernie's in trouble. Because what you could easily see is somebody come in from the wings. You could see perhaps a Joe Biden-Bernie Sanders unity ticket, maybe. You see them give Sanders the second spot on the ticket in order to sort of appease him. You could see maybe Elizabeth Warren. She's waiting in the wings, hoping that maybe she is the consensus pick. Obviously, the media love her. But if she comes in fourth in these primaries, it's going to be hard to see why she should walk away with the nomination. But let's say that Sanders and Warren combined are enough for the nomination. You could see Warren trade her delegates in favor of Sanders to get the VP slot. That's something you could see happen. With all of this said, Joe Biden continues to make the case that South Carolina is going to be his moment. He says today that South Carolina will be his launching pad to the nomination.
I've been confident about South Carolina because I've worked so hard over 30 more years here in South Carolina, not to run for president, but to have a relationship with the community. I start off with not just Jim Clyburn, but there's before that, Fritz Hollings. And I've been deeply involved in this community, in this state. And I feel very good about it, felt good about it from the beginning. It's been a launching pad for Barack, and I believe it'll be a launching pad for me. We'll see how much I have to win by. I don't want to jinx myself along the line here. I feel very good. I've worked hard to earn these votes, and I think I'll do well.
Well, he really has spent an awful lot of time in South Carolina. The problem is, according to most of the people in the Super Tuesday stage, Biden hasn't spent 5 minutes on the ground with anybody, and he's got no organization. So you could see the votes split 8 ways from Sunday. Now, Biden's main critique, the main critique of Biden, obviously, is that he is very old. There is a phenomenal, hilarious poll from the Washington Post out today talking about the various words that people use to describe the various candidates. So let's look among Democrats, because we're talking about Democratic primaries. So the plurality of Democrats describe Joe Biden as old. Old. And then second is vice president, and third is good person. Bloomberg. Nearly everybody describes him as rich. Here are the words for Bloomberg among Democrats. Rich, by a wide margin. Then, okay, smart, New York, and old. Pete Buttigieg, smart, young, gay. Those are the only words that come up with Pete Buttigieg. Klobuchar is smart, okay, centrist. So going to generate a lot of enthusiasm there. For Bernie Sanders, also number one by a huge margin is old. And then good person, which obviously they haven't looked at his record. Then smart, socialist, and voting for. So that shows you that he has a real passionate base. Tom Steyer, rich, inexperienced environment. Warren, smart, strong, voting for. So she also has a very solid base. Now, Republicans' responses to these various candidates are similarly hilarious. So I will say that among Republicans, the words most often associated with, for example, President Trump are president, and then bumbling, and then jerk. That's among Republicans, not Democrats. For Biden, it is old, liar, creepy, stupid. Those are the words Republicans use to describe Biden, is old, liar, creepy, stupid. Then there's Bloomberg, rich, liar, buying the election. And then Buttigieg is gay, inexperienced, liar. So, poorly done, everybody. Amy Klobuchar is centrist, okay, liberal. For Sanders, by a wide margin, it's socialist, old, communist. Fair. Fact check, fair. And then for Warren, it is liar, crazy, liberal. Liar well outpacing the rest. So, we'll say the American people, they seem to have a head on their shoulders. By the way, among independents, just so you know, the problem for President Trump is that among independents, here are the words used to describe President Trump in this poll. Liar, racist, won't vote for. Those are the top three. For Biden, it's old, vice president, and corrupt among independents. So corrupt for Biden among independents is not helpful. For Bloomberg, rich, liar, and arrogant. For independents, for Buttigieg, gay is still number one because people recognize that's one of the reasons he's getting all that attention. For Sanders, it's old, socialist, and then good person for a small number of independents. And then for Warren, number one is liar. Liar, woman voting for. So that is where the American people hate everybody. And well done for the American people, because honestly, that seems about right to me. Doesn't it seem about right to you? And meanwhile, Joe Biden's pitch is, listen, the reason you should elect me is because I'm not a crazy person. And just because I'm not crazy doesn't mean I don't have fire. It just means that I'm not crazy. So here's Joe Biden going after Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. I have to say, I find this hilarious.
What is your fire?
Decency, honor, and restoring. The fact that I'm not screaming like Bernie and waving my arms, or like Elizabeth, is not lack of fire.
So I do like the slam on Warren that he yells a lot, and Elizabeth Warren moves her arms, and she does. I mean, Elizabeth Warren on the campaign trail looks like one of those inflatable people that you put at the top of a used car dealership. Everything she does is this, right? It's all the wobbly arms everywhere. So he is correct about that. The problem is that Biden is still Biden. Right? Today, again, the man just can't stop saying he's running for Senate of the United States, which, like, all right, dude.
I'm looking forward to appointing the first African-American woman to the United States Senate.
You can't appoint anyone to the United States Senate, Joe. You're not a governor, and there's no vacancy. So, again, Joe Biden just, and I love the crowd cheering, because no one cares what anybody has to say at this point. Also, Joe Biden today made a very weird reference to why you shouldn't touch naked women who are running around. I don't know what's going on in Joe Biden's head, but it's real weird up there.
No man has a right to lay a hand on a woman for any other reason than self-defense. And I'm going to make the controversial statements I always made. If someone in this room got up, took off all her clothes and walked out the door, no man has a right to touch her. Zero. She can be arrested for indecent exposure.
Well, I mean, fact check, true. Also, what? I mean, okay, so guys, you can have that. Meanwhile, Bloomberg is just in there complicating things. If he had any wherewithal at all, he would at this point recognize that he's going nowhere on Super Tuesday. He's not going to win a plurality of the delegates. He's holding up Joe Biden. He's splitting the vote with him. He would get out. He would throw all of his money at Bernie Sanders and attack Bernie Sanders. Instead, he says, I'm staying in till the bitter end, because this is the problem with presidential races. It's the biggest egos you can possibly find, all crammed into the smallest possible space. It's the clown car of ego. Here is Michael Bloomberg.
Are you committed to staying in through that entire process?
As long as you have a chance of winning, absolutely. Why would I spend all this money and all this time out of my life and wear and tear, which I love, incidentally. It reminds me of my three campaigns in New York for mayor, which I did like. The difference here is I've got to fly from event to event, where there I used to drive from event to event. But, yeah, sure, I love it. I'm going to stay right till the bitter end as long as I have a chance.
He's going to stay all the way till the bitter end. He thinks that the national election is like New York. By the way, he did basically buy re-election in New York. I mean, he even bought people so that he could change the law so he could run for a third term in New York. He just thinks it's going to work that way for him. You know, I really doubt that it's going to. And he really is clogging up that lane for Biden at this point. There are some polls showing today that Sanders is way out ahead in New England, but a couple of key states are North Carolina and Virginia. According to 538, their forecast has Biden as a very slight favorite to win the state, with about a 49% shot. Biden, Sanders is about a 30% shot at victory, and Bloomberg at about 19% shot at victory. The model forecasts that Biden will get 26% and Sanders get 23% of the statewide vote. Now, if Biden shows real strong in South Carolina, probably that energy infuses North Carolina as well. But Bloomberg is polling at like 20% in North Carolina. If he weren't in the race, Biden would be running away with that thing. The same thing seems to be true in Virginia. In Virginia, they're basically estimating that Biden is slightly ahead of Sanders, like 26 to 25, but Bloomberg's got 19. The same thing's happening in Texas. So Bloomberg is taking vote share directly away from Joe Biden at this point. Now, when it appeared that Biden was going to completely collapse, then it made sense for Biden to get out and throw his support to Bloomberg. Now that it appears that Bloomberg has no shot at the nomination, it makes sense for Bloomberg to get out and throw his support to Biden. But maybe they're thinking, okay, well, if both of us stay in and we just split the vote, maybe we're taking some votes away from Bernie between the two of us, and then we can prevent him from getting the nomination. The problem is, what do you do in the case of an open convention? Like, nobody has a clue. Nobody has a clue. One thing is certain, though. The Democrats are not sanguine about Bernie Sanders as the nominee. James Clyburn, who came out and endorsed Joe Biden, very important endorsement in South Carolina, he says Bernie's nomination, it'll cause absolute carnage for Democrats down ballot.
I talked to the faith community down there, and they were very, very concerned about whether or not we'll do something or have somebody on the ticket that will cause down ballot carnage. That's our biggest problem in my members. We want to see somebody on the ticket that will allow us to expand our numbers, not having to run some kind of a rear guard campaign in order to keep from being tarnished with a label.
Again, the Democrats are not going to hand this to Bernie on a silver platter. It could be complete war. It could be 1968 at the Democratic convention. You could have the youth candidates. It could be wild. It could be absolutely wild. So we'll get to more of this in just one second. First, let us speak for a moment about how you can make a better first impression this year. First, you can make that smile look great. How can you do that? Well, head on over to Candid. Use their clear aligners. I've been doing it. They make it super easy. The process, you can do it directly from home. You never have to go into an office. And you're working with orthodontists, not just general dentists, like orthodontists, to get that tooth movement exactly correct. You never have to set foot in a doctor's office or a waiting room. With other remote clear aligner options, you may never hear from a doctor. But Candid only works with experienced orthodontists. You might be feeling nervous about an upcoming wedding or graduation, but don't worry. Candid treatment takes just 6 months on average, you'll start seeing results well before then. Get a complimentary 3D scan of your teeth at a Candid studio near you. It is the simplest, freest way to get started. For a limited time, you can get started with $75 off by using code Ben at CandidCo.com/Ben. That is CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code Ben for $75 off. CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code Ben for $75 off and get those teeth better looking. I mean, why exactly wouldn't you? Now's a great time to make your teeth look great this year, make a better first impression, helps you in business, helps you in life, maybe helps you get a date. Go check it out tonight, CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code Ben for $75 off. So again, Michael Bloomberg clogging up that lane for Joe Biden. Joe Biden needs a big performance tomorrow. Problem is, Joe Biden doesn't have a lot of money. So who exactly is waiting in the wings in case of an open convention for the Democrats? There have been a lot of names that have been bandied about. There's been talk that maybe Barack Obama will come in and fix things. That's not going to happen. There's been talk maybe Michelle Obama will jet set in. Highly unlikely. But let's say that Bernie walks in with a plurality, but it's not a heavy plurality. I can't imagine the superdelegates are gonna chime in on this. Could you have a Hillary Clinton emerging from the wings? This has been Dennis Miller's theory all along, is that Hillary is waiting in the wings, just waiting to be the consensus choice, that people are going to hand it to her, saying you need a revenge play against Donald Trump. You won a majority of the popular vote last time. She comes in from the wings. Unclear who exactly would even be there. It's super complicated, and the Democrats are not making it any easier on themselves. All of this, of course, is due to two factors. One, Joe Biden incredibly weak. Two, Barack Obama stayed out of this thing. If Barack Obama had sounded off right at the beginning and said, Joe Biden's my man, you need Joe Biden in that office, Joe Biden would be running away with this thing right now. Instead, he let Biden just twist in the wind. He let him twist in the wind, which is an amazing thing to do, because now the Democrats are in serious, serious danger of running into a complete disaster at the convention. You could have multiple delegates and multiple ballots. Again, 538 is forecasting this is the most likely outcome, the most likely outcome. And again, if it's even close to even after Super Tuesday, watch for it to get even more contentious, as there's pressure from Bloomberg to drop out and get behind Biden. There's pressure for Warren to drop out and get behind Sanders. Man, this thing is going to get absolutely wild. Good news. By Monday, we'll have more news on this thing, and we'll be able to bring it to you as we prep for Super Tuesday. Already coming up, a viral video showing a young woman celebrating her abortion has been rocketing around the internet. We'll talk about the morality of an America in which people actually shout and celebrate their sins. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Al here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
So, there is a video that has now gone viral on TikTok. TikTok is one of these things for the Gen Zers and millennials. Basically, you upload these little videos to TikTok. They're supposed to be sort of edited into, what, 10, 15 seconds or something? And then basically it acts almost like Snapchat, except they don't disappear. You put them out publicly, and then people view them. This video has been viewed a bajillion times now because it's just horrifying and disgusting. Basically, it's a young woman who goes with her friend to get an abortion, and she is happy the whole way through. She goes there, and she's making fun of people who are at the abortion clinic who seem to be a little bit upset about, you know, killing a baby. And here is a little bit of the TikTok video. I'll read it to you because a lot of it is done in text. It says, abortion time, take two. Take two. It's a pregnancy test. And then she's laughing, nervous laugh. There's two abortion moves, people who are sad. And then her partying it up, her like pumping her fist and smiling while she gets an abortion. And then it shows the ultrasound as that baby is, as that fetus is sucked into a tube. So let me just point something out about the modern American left. I'm old enough to remember when people on the left at least acknowledged the moral quandaries involved in abortion. I'm old enough to remember Safe, Legal, and Rare, which was the Bill Clinton line. Now, it never made any logical sense, but at least it made a certain amount of emotional sense. It didn't make any logical sense because if you believe that it's a wrong, then it should not be legal, right? But if you are at least making the moral, at least if you're making the emotional case that there is something that is worthy of consideration here, that at least is living in the realm of reality. Acting as though it is nothing more than getting a polyp removed to take an incipient human life and then kill it. And by the way, what does that mean, abortion take two? Is that her second abortion? I mean, that's all I can take away from that because I really don't know what that means. Her celebrating, fist pumping, as though this is women's empowerment, this is what our culture has done to the notion of femininity. It's absolutely horrifying. So my wife is like literally on the verge of giving birth, right, to child number three. Thank God, everything looks healthy. Thank God. Okay, I can tell you that from the very instant we knew she was pregnant, obviously this was now a part of our life. And not only was this a part of our life, this was an individual soul that was going to have a place in this world. And if, God forbid, something had happened to that child, we would have mourned for the unborn child. I mean, that is the way that Meghan McCain wrote a beautiful column about this for the New York Times when she had a miscarriage. People mourn for their unborn children. They don't know them as well as they know their born children, obviously, but this is still a thing with moral weight. This is still the vision of people celebrating. Okay, the shout your abortion movement as though it is a mark of femininity and womanhood to cast out that which most makes you a woman. And yes, it does. Okay. I'm sorry. Pregnancy is one of the things that makes you most a woman as distinguished from most a man. It's not what makes you most a human being, right? Reason makes you most a human being, but your capacity to have a child is one of the key features of being a woman as opposed to being a biological man. And to pretend that that doesn't matter and to pretend that femininity is to actively cast that out, that female empowerment is to take that which makes you most uniquely female, your superpower, right? It is a superpower. You're able to grow a child in your own body and then feed that child using your own body. That's a superpower, man. That is a superpower. And to pretend that that is something negative and bad and that casting that child out and that killing that unborn human being, that is some sort of mark of bravery or femininity, that you're more of a woman for doing that than you would be if you had taken the child to term, that somehow it's degrading to you as a woman, right? Not as a human being, as a woman, to carry a child to term and have that child, to exercise your superpower. I mean, honest to God, it's the equivalent of Superman deliberately grounding himself and then saying, I feel more like a Kryptonian today. Like, that's just not the way that this works. Your superpower is this thing. This is talk to any woman who has been pregnant. This isn't just a me point, okay? This is a my wife point. This is any woman who's been pregnant point, okay? This is an amazing, amazing gift that God has given you or nature has given you if you don't believe in God. And that gift, that amazing gift, to take that and to degrade that, to pretend that the mark of womanhood is to take that which most makes you a woman and then throw it away is really insane. I mean, it truly is. And the celebration is just, it's beyond the moral pale. But that is our society now. Our society is you celebrate the sin. It's not enough to just acknowledge that a sin is being committed or to say, listen, I believe I should have the right to commit the sin, even if I think it's a sin, even if I think it's bad, I think I should have the right to commit the sin. It's not a good argument, but at least that's an argument. But to celebrate the sin is an act of evil. To celebrate doing something that harms another human being. And by the way, I'm not seeing any evidence in the, I mean, she took a pregnancy test. She doesn't look as though she was forced into the sex in this particular video. If that is different, then I will amend that statement. But I've seen no information to suggest that. If she had consensual sex with a person and then she got pregnant, which is a result of consensual sex in many cases, turns out these two things are interlinked. And then her natural response is to celebrate, presumably, both the casual sex and then also the abortion. How does this make anybody a better human being? How does this make society better? How does this make femininity better? How does this strengthen womanhood in any real way? If you don't watch that, if you watch that and you're not horrified, I'd say you're doing morality wrong, whether you're left, right, or center. You got to take this stuff with a certain level of moral seriousness for you to even be taken seriously as a moral human being. The utter blithe attitude toward abortion is utterly astonishing. The Michelle Wolf, celebrate your abortion, fire off fireworks. This is what makes us free. If your freedom is the killing of an unborn human being and celebrating it and fist pumping it while you do it and making fun of people who are depressed and upset about doing it, even if they're doing it, I mean, what utter callousness, truly amazing. All righty, so we will be back here on Monday with all of your updates. We'll know whether Joe Biden succeeded or failed in South Carolina, and we will prepare you for Super Tuesday coming up fast, and this year is just flying by and the news is crazy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. There is a new case of the COVID-19 coronavirus, this time in Santa Clara County. Dr. Sarah Cody, the public health officer there.
Today we're reporting a new case of novel coronavirus in Santa Clara County. This is the third case to be identified in our county, but it's different from our other two cases in an important way. Like the California case reported 2 days ago, our third case did not recently travel overseas or have any known contact with a recent traveler or an infected person.
That brings the national total of people infected to 63. The patient is an older adult woman with chronic health conditions. A federal appeals court won't order former White House counsel Don McGahn to testify before Congress. Here's George Bonzani.
In a split decision, a federal appeals court has ruled that judges have no role to play in a subpoena fight between the House of Representatives and President Trump to compel the testimony of high-ranking administration officials. The 2-1 decision undoes a lower court ruling that would have forced former White House counsel Don McGahn to appear before Congress even if McGahn did not have to answer questions during testimony. Unless lawmakers make an appeal to the full court or to the Supreme Court, this ruling is likely to preclude other high-ranking officials from having to testify in Democratic-led House investigations of President Trump. George Bonzani reporting.
The Senate has passed a bill to provide $1 billion for small telecom providers to replace equipment made by China's Huawei and ZTE. It now goes to President Donald Trump. The U.S. government considers the Chinese companies a security risk. The pain on Wall Street wasn't as bad as it has been the past week, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average still closed down 357 points, while the NASDAQ Composite Index was up a fraction. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
NATO on Friday called on Syria and Russia to halt their airstrikes following the killing of 33 Turkish soldiers in northeastern Syria.
Clearly, following that very damaging attack on Turkey's forces yesterday, the Turks felt compelled to respond, and forcefully. The Russians, for their part, put out a statement this morning saying that essentially Turkish troops were in a place where they should not have been, and that consequently they came under fire from the Syrian government side. So it's a mess there in Idlib. It's all a consequence of President Assad's determination to retake as much of Idlib province as he can. And, of course, it does raise the possibility, the prospect, the very grim prospect, of Turkey and Russia coming to blows, which is why this has quite significant international repercussions.
That is BBC correspondent Paul Adams reporting. News and analysis at townhall.com. One of Hong Kong's most high-profile entrepreneurs, pro-democracy tycoon Jimmy Lai, has been charged, along with two others, with illegal assembly and intimidation.
Hong Kong police said Jimmy Lai, founder of Apple Daily in Hong Kong and Taiwan, the former Labour Party legislator Lee Chuck-yan, and the former Democratic Party chairman Yuan Sum have each been charged with one count of illegal assembly in relation to a protest on the 31st of August last year. Mr. Lai has also been charged with one count of criminal intimidation in connection with an alleged incident involving a rival newspaper. The three men will attend a court hearing on the 5th of May at the Eastern Magistrate Court in Hong Kong.
The BBC's Martin Yip. The Federal Communications Commission has proposed roughly $200 million in fines combined for the country's four major phone companies for improperly disclosing customers' real-time location. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If it's Sunday, it's Denny. In this instant, Vice President Mike Pence's Chief of Staff, Mark Short, refuses to... Oh, Denny. What does that mean? Oh, my producers wrote that in there. It's deny. Denny, I'm like, who's Denny?
They're all geniuses. They're the ones bringing us the vitally important news on the impending apocalypse from the coronavirus. Or is it the COVID-19 virus? Or have they changed the name again today as they're so fond of doing? Have you panicked yet? It's never too early to panic. Imagine if it snowed now in Washington, D.C. That'd be it. We'd all die. Bam, 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 bam. Well, I guess the good news is that it's Friday. But now the, what is the New York Times calling it? The Trump virus. Because that's how mentally ill they are. Gail Collins at the New York Times left-wing hack. One of the girls from the DNC steno pool coming up with Soviet-style propaganda. Well, I guess in this case, it's more Maoist Chinese, since that's who they're defending this time around. Also, have you seen this? I don't know how this got by me, but the other day, Bernie Sanders had a rally. And what was it, Tacoma? Tacoma, Washington, which ought to be ashamed of itself as a city, as a collection of people, as a government. And Bernie Sanders had this Tacoma city councilwoman who is, I think it would be fair to say, a communist. I think she self-describes as a socialist. But go ahead. I mean, if they want to call communism socialism, that's okay with me. I mean, the Soviets did. The Nazis did. They, you know, they'll call themselves socialists. This woman is, she wants to smash capitalism. And this is at a Bernie rally, and the crowd is cheering like mad, like Munich in 33. And they're just going crazy over this. And the news media completely, they just, it's, yeah, sure, everybody's calling for smashing the evils of capitalism, oppression, and exploitation, aren't they? And this is literally the Bernie rally. Crushing capitalists, exploitation, and whatever it else. It's the usual. I mean, she sounds like Lenin. And she's shrieking at the top of her lungs, as they always are. And honestly, this is a pretty clear-cut case this year of what's going on in the United States of America. The Cold War is not over. It didn't end. Only the dead know the end of war. And the left are here to provide war and death. So, you know, nothing is over until they say it's over. And for them, it will never be over. Because, as Hillary Clinton says, there is only the fight. That's her thesis paper after interning with the communist agitator Saul Alinsky, just by the way. Barack Obama was an Alinskyite, is an Alinskyite as well, and so are many of the Democrats. But these people are just really out-of-the-closet communists. I mean, it sounds crazy. It's like communists? There are no communists. No, there are, and one is about to become the Democrat nominee for the presidency of the United States. Where do you hear this psychotic woman from Tacoma, Washington? It really stunned me this morning. I saw one little clip that when found a longer version on Al Gore's amazing internet, peace be upon him. And it is, it's really something. Now, there are two stories regarding the coronavirus. It's sort of a tale of two cities. But there are two major story threads on the coronavirus. And the first is that there is a virus that the public should be paying attention to. The second is that the Democrats see it as a political opportunity, as they see all death and mayhem as opportunity. We see the stock market, not the economy, but the stock market tanking. And they're, depending on which metric you use, the biggest drop in 12 years approximately, or the biggest drop ever, depending on whether you're going by digits or percentages, whether you're going by the, you know, from 28,000 down to 24,000, that is the biggest drop. But percentages, you know, and really it's because when President Trump took office, the stock market, the Dow Jones, were at about 18,000. And then the news media panicked. Everybody dropped to about 17,000 the next day. And then it went up to 28,000 because it turned out the news media was lying and misrepresenting and misleading once again. And I've covered that topic fairly thoroughly over the years. So there are two stories. First, there's the actual virus, which is has multiple names because that's how these people like to do things. And I'm going to call it the coronavirus for ease and simplicity. There is the coronavirus, and there's a lot going on that front. There is. The Pope was sneezing and coughing the other day. He might be a Bernie voter himself, as a matter of fact. And so now the Pope is being monitored very closely. The reports worldwide have led to epic panics. Really, really, the pandemic right now, the number one pandemic right now, is panic and a lack of reason. And again, I feel like Klaatu from The Day the Earth Stood Still, trying to figure out why everybody's panicking the way they are instead of behaving as adults might behave, as leaders might behave. President Trump has been calm, cool, and collected, and he's under attack by the Democrats and the Washington Post and the New York Times And these, really, these just despicable, reprehensible left-wing hacks with keyboards, like Gail Collins at the New York Times and Greg Sargent at the Washington Post, neither of whom actually understands what the word journalist means, and they have no sense of any, the idea of fairness. I made a note about fairness to myself, and now I'm laughing at it when I look at it because it's funny to suggest that fairness would even be a part of the question. And then, of course, we have the Democrats. We have the coronavirus and the actual story about the coronavirus, which is not being covered well by our really lousy, corrupt news media that doesn't do a public service under any circumstance. And then we have the second part of the coronavirus story, the media Democrat attacks on the president, which are specious at best, criminal, really, for the most part. It's the Trump virus. That's really clever, really. You know, send your brain out to the dry cleaners, Gail Collins, because once again, it's not working as designed. And this Greg Sargent hack at the Dr. Evil Post, he works like a little girl for the richest man in the world. And he's got a headline today, this hack. Trump just pushed one of his worst conspiracy theories yet. You know how they like to say that Hunter Biden's job is in Ukraine is a debunked conspiracy theory, when, of course, it's not. They don't know what these words mean, either that or they just have absolutely, it's not no regard, it's contempt for the truth and contempt for facts. Trump pushed one of his worst conspiracy theories yet, types Greg Sargent for the hard left. And Trump is suggesting that his foes are weaponizing the outbreak against him. Oh, what an outrageous conspiracy theory. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's an obvious statement of fact to anybody that has two eyeballs and half a brain, which I guess Greg Sargent doesn't qualify for. And he's we're the worst prepared government ever. And he's just got all these things in here that if you believe anything you see in the Post or in Greg Sargent's little essay here, you're going to be dumber for it. You're going to be farther away from being well informed. But I'm gonna share the facts with you. The Associated Press even fact-checked the Democrats and pointed out that they're completely full of it. But Greg Sargent doesn't follow the news because most reporters don't. They think they make the news, and they do. You know, they invent the news. It's a remarkable thing. Elizabeth Warren wants to fight the coronavirus by opening our southern border because she's mentally impaired, I think is the short version. She introduced a bill that would take money away from border security to apply it to the coronavirus. Not because she wants to apply money to the coronavirus, but because she wants to open the borders. We're already talking again. What President Trump initially offered requested $2.5 trillion. The Democrats immediately started breaking chairs and saying, no, $8.5 billion, not based on any paper they have in front of them. These dollars go to that. It's just a random big number that they wanted to throw out to pick a fight because they don't care about human lives in America. They care about the election in November. That's all they care about. And honestly, to pretend they care about human life would be absurd. So I'm not going to pretend that. And I suggested yesterday, I still think they should do it. The White House should come back and ask for $30 billion or $40 or $70 billion, something ridiculous, because that's the game that the Democrats are playing, and then laugh at the Democrats. But get the biggest dollar figure you can find and then take $10 billion and say, well, you know, key to containing the virus is securing our southern border. And then watch the Democrats set themselves on fire with cans of gas and Zippo lighters like Buddhist monks just for fun, because you know, it'd be a great screensaver, I think, if you had smoldering Democrats in front of the Capitol, the way things are going. Elizabeth Warren, whether, you know, she should ask to devote money to COPD, I think. Coronavirus poses a serious health and diplomatic and economic threat, and we must be prepared to confront it head on. So I'm introducing a bill to transfer all funding for Donald Trump's racist border wall. Now, how can a wall be racist? So when lefties build walls, it's to keep people in. And when people try to get out, lefties shoot them and kill them. That's the history of the 20th century. If you're not familiar with it, keep listening, because I like to talk about history a lot. So I'm introducing a bill to transfer all funding for Trump's racist border wall to HHS and USAID to combat coronavirus. USAID is just foreign aid. So she wants to just start throwing money, your money, and millennials money and Gen X and Gen Z money, because we're sticking you suckers with the bill. I don't know if you figured this out yet, but the big joke is on you, you see, because there's already a $22 trillion national debt, and these guys want to just bankrupt the country. Now, I just, you know that crazy woman at Tacoma with the, do you have that short one about smashing capitalism stuff? Because I just want to get to that, because this is literally where the Democrat Party is. This woman is a city council member in Tacoma, Washington. She is a socialist, she says, and take a good listen, because Bernie Sanders is a socialist. His followers, who apparently learned this in school, are socialists. And here's the psychotic, lunatic Bernie Sanders supporting, I think it would not be unfair to characterize her as a communist. She is really perfectly in the mainstream of today's Democrat Party. Listen to the cheering crowd at the Bernie rally, and Bernie is the Democrat leader.
We need a powerful socialist movement to end all capitalist oppression and exploitation.
Listen to the crowd. It's like Munich 33. Now, how did that not make news? That was on Monday. Today's Friday. And it was buried by a very, very dishonest and corrupt news media. And that is, imagine, I don't know what the Republican equivalent of that would be. I don't think there is one. Absolutely no taxes, complete freedom, no government. I don't know what that would be. But this woman is a city council member. Her name is Kashama Sawant. Kashama Sawant is her name, and she is, a Democrat campaigning with Bernie. And I got to hear it one more time, because this is my favorite soundbite.
We need a powerful socialist movement to end all capitalist oppression and exploitation.
Yeah. There you go. That's the rally of the leader of the Democrat Party in the presidential contest. Socialist on the city council of, she's on the Seattle City Council, not the Tacoma. The rally was in Tacoma, but the woman is a member of the Seattle City Council, which is a larger and more significant city.
Dear friends, my name is Kashama Sawant. I am the socialist on the Seattle City Council.
There it is. This is the Democrat Party today. I can hear the ammo flying off the shelves even as we speak. And, you know, it occurred to me this morning when I was going through news items that what Elizabeth Warren fighting against border security because there's a global virus, see, and remember, canceling flights to and from China was racist, right, because he's a xenophobe. And there's still John Meacham yesterday on MSNBC. He's a historian. What he's really concerned about is, well, you know, the virus, sure, but really xenophobia in America, because we're all racists, and not them, everybody else, we're all racist. And that's why we should have open borders. And Elizabeth Warren is proposing taking money from the border to give to other countries, because that makes sense to her right now. And I'm marveling at this. Bernie, of course, has said that he would take down sections of the wall built under President Trump. And this morning, going through the news, I noticed there was a man named Jose Luis Torres Garcia arrested in Wyoming. He was on the run from the police in California, where he's accused of shooting three men in the head and murdering them execution style in a graveyard in the greater Los Angeles metroplex. And he fled in a vehicle armed and dangerous to Wyoming. And there he is in Wyoming. Wyoming's not a border state. And it turns out that Jose Luis Torres Garcia has been twice deported. He's been deported twice for other crimes. And he's been arrested repeatedly. And you see, the Democrats have no bail, won't charge you with other crimes if you're caught as an illegal. If you're an illegal alien and you're caught for another crime, the Democrats want to release you. And they want to keep the border open. And check out Montgomery County, Maryland, also. With all of the 11-year-olds. This is the Democrat Party's America. By the way, they caught the Democrat that vandalized Plymouth Rock with the spray paint and all of this stuff. See, this guy, Jose Luis Torres Garcia, with the triple homicide and the multiple deportations and the long list of crimes and arrests, the Democrats, all they care about is his vote. I mean, that's, I'm not being mean. I just follow the news, and unlike most people in the city, I remember it. It's my big problem.
Bernie can't beat Trump.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
If this were just any door, and this were just any ignition, connected to just any transmission, in just any vehicle, then perhaps it would be okay to buy it from just anyone. But this is not just any car. It's a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Every detail has been inspected and road tested by highly skilled Mercedes-Benz technicians. And it's all backed by an unlimited mileage warranty, which makes the decision of where to buy one simple. Your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. The certified pre-owned sales event going on now through March 7th. Come in today and enjoy a credit of up to $1,500 towards your first two payments through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Because in the end, it's absolute confidence in genuine Mercedes-Benz parts, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit towards your first 2 months' payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you build a giant pillow fort in your living room. And when people ask why you have a pillow fort in your living room, you say it's for your dog. And when they ask, well, what kind? You say, chocolate lab. And weave a web of lies that's almost as intricate as the crown molding in Fort Pillow. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the pillow soft fortress you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Credit products are issued by WebBank, member FDIC. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Offer valid for loan products 90 days after today. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How do I feel? Awesome.
Like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Hundreds of thousands of people are discovering the relief of a fixed-rate debt consolidation loan through Avant.
I paid off all my credit cards, and now I just have one easy monthly payment with Avant. And I don't have to worry about the rates going up.
Avant offers you access to unsecured debt consolidation loans from $2,000 to $35,000.
When I saw Avant was accredited by the Better Business Bureau, I knew that was the company for me.
Do you know how good it feels to only worry about one monthly payment?
Experience the relief of a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Plus, get a free $50 Amazon gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and get this free offer, go to Avant.com and enter code 7575 when applying. Avant.com, code 7575. That's Avant.com, code 7575.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, a place for mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Well, it took about 2 weeks, I guess, more than a week. Remember, Joe Biden was, weeks, it took weeks. Joe Biden has been going around for weeks, maybe 3 weeks, saying that he was arrested in South Africa when he went and tried to meet Nelson Mandela, but couldn't because somebody was mean to him and they arrested him with our then UN ambassador, Andrew Young. Andrew Young said nothing like that ever took place. And the news media just didn't ask Joe Biden about it because they're his handmaidens and they're not journalists. They're Democrat Party apparatchiks and nothing more with computers. And that's about it. Finally, CNN got around to it this morning. They asked Joe Biden, hey, what's this about you being arrested in South Africa while you were trying so desperately to meet Nelson Mandela? And he said, well, maybe I wasn't arrested, you know, but what else did he say? I really can't remember stuff because my brain stopped working a hell of a long time ago and nobody noticed because really since the 1970s, I've been getting everything ridiculously wrong and you guys have been giving me a free pass. So I go around saying outrageous things that is that really pretty much where we are? In any event, CNN, who was it? Oh, really? Berman, I'm sure he asked very gently in a deferential way. So have you been lying profusely for months now, for weeks and weeks, about a fake arrest in South Africa that never happened? I'm sure the question will be very polite and ginger. And he said, well, you know, maybe I wasn't arrested, but they didn't let me go to the restaurant I wanted to go to or something like that. It's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? A lot of good stuff coming up.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Wiggins, a teacher in Gilmore City Bridegate School District in Iowa. Thanks to a science, technology, engineering, and math grant sponsored by Bear Fund, we renovated an old locker room into a monarch butterfly incubator, providing students with access to innovative technology that engages and inspires them. I encourage farmers to nominate a school district to apply for a $15,000 Grow Rural Education Grant by visiting americasfarmers.com.
Furnished by Bayer Fund.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
The bond we share with our pets is undeniable. They fill us with love, comfort, and joy, and they deserve the same. As pet owners, we want to care for and protect our pets. Sadly, in homes where domestic violence occurs, pets are often victims too. Hi, I'm Russell Wilson. Each year, millions of domestic violence victims stay in abusive situations because they fear for the safety of their pet. With less than 10% of domestic violence shelters allowing pets, too many lives remain at risk. Victims of domestic violence should never have to make a choice between their own safety and the safety of their loved ones, including pets. That's why the Banfield Foundation supports programs that provide temporary shelter and veterinary care so people and pets can find safety together. Because when we help pets, we help people too. To learn more and get involved, visit banfieldfoundation.org/safertogether.
Lunch Bucket and Joe. His brain does not work as designed. Do we have that? Do you have that Biden audio from this morning, or do you need more time? More time would be good. Okay, we'll take more time. Joe Biden was just on a short time ago with the CNN, and they teed up the question for him and just let him go on until he ran out of words, and he was making up new stuff all over the place. And turns out now he misremembered and he wasn't arrested on the streets of Soweto with Andrew Young, like he said. But on an airplane, men in shorts came on and separated him from the Congressional Black Caucus delegation, which is not the story that he gave last time. And it's not in Soweto, and it's not on the street, and it's not Andrew Young. And of course, John Berman at CNN didn't call him on any of this because he's just a bootlick for the party, let's be honest. And so there's that. Okay. We've got that audio for you coming up because these people, let me just say, these people. All right. Now, let me get to some of the coronavirus stuff before getting into the politics. And when I say politics, that includes the media because the media is just politics all too much of the time. And certainly Greg Sargent and Gail Collins at the New York Times. What a terrible joke. Again, Elizabeth Warren wants to take any money from securing this. She sees that there is what may be a global epidemic or a pandemic, not just of panic and stupidity, but of the coronavirus, whose name they changed yesterday or day before yesterday for no apparent reason. But she wants to open our border as a response to a global virus spreading from country to country. She thinks that's the appropriate response because she's nuts. All right? She's a Harvard law professor, former, and she's a whack job. She's completely berserk. And to introduce a bill to open up our borders at a time, and I went and I looked on and she tweeted this, and the people are going, Twitter is just a wasteland of craziness. And there are people yelling at each other back and forth on Twitter about Elizabeth Warren's brilliant idea of opening the border to contain the virus. That works in her brain. And, of course, they yell at you and call you racist because that's what the Democrat Party teaches them. Nobody's thinking. Nobody's being logical. Nobody's being sensible. Nobody's even trying to make sense anymore. The bill, according to Warren's office, would result in approximately $10 billion being shifted from the Department of Homeland Security to the Department of Health and Human Services. The Jordan Carney at the Hill types on behalf of the party. Rather than use the taxpayer dollars to pay for a monument to hate and division, my bill will help ensure that the federal government has the resources it needs to adequately respond to this emergency. So really, we've got to take money out of that pocket to put otherwise we're not. Is that what it is? No, that's not it. That's not it. She's lying because really it's just about her already pre-existing agenda of leaving the border open. And she's using this as a lever, the virus, as an opportunity. She sees it as an opportunity to call people racist and to say that it's a monument to hate and division. But send your check to Planned Parenthood. The White House had suggested $2.5 billion to combat the coronavirus. Well, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, well, if he isn't the burning bush of truth and integrity, then who is requesting $8.5 billion. I honestly think Trump should come back and ask for like $27.11 trillion and take the money and use it to secure the border, because that would make more sense in the time of a spreading virus than opening the border, which is just beyond my ability to comprehend as an adult with a functioning cerebrum. Truly extraordinary stuff. And they're attacking the president. Oh, also, there's a whistleblower. And they're attacking the president because he didn't ask for enough money quickly enough. Also, they point out this is something they're very upset about, that there was a person on the National Security Council whose job it was to honcho, to be in charge of pandemics. Now, the National Security Council, I think under Ronald Reagan, was about 40 people. By the time Obama left, it was 440 people or something like that. And apparently one of these 440 people was in charge of pandemics, but he's the Maytag repairman because he's been sitting there for a whole bunch of years now doing nothing, throwing cards into a hat, watching daytime TV on the taxpayer dime with no pandemics to fight. Why do we? I mean, we have people at HHS and at NIH and Bethesda Naval and at 76 universities across the country working on all of these projects and on overarching under the same umbrella. And the left is very upset that one position, the Maytag repairman of coronavirus, was let go from the 440-person National Security Council, and that they will not sit still for, because they want a government full of people sitting around doing nothing, conspiring against America. That's really what they're looking for. And I find all of this caterwauling. And then the Washington Post expressing outrage. How dare you say that we've been politicizing this? I don't think they know what any of these words mean. Greg Sargent, I don't think he knows what these words mean. He types. He types on behalf of the Democratic Party and Bernie Sanders and Bolshevism, but he doesn't actually know what the words mean. I'm going to get to him a little later because I've got a special affinity for him today. U.S. workers without workers. I just want to stop there. That's in the headline in the Washington Post. U.S. workers. When did we start calling healthcare professionals workers for shorthand? When the Soviet Union came to town? When did that happen? U.S. work. You mean like HHS employees? Is that what you're saying? U.S. workers without protective gear assisted coronavirus evacuees, HHS whistleblower says. We got another HHS whistleblower went to the special counsel. I'm not making this up. Officials at the Department of Health and Human Services sent more than a dozen workers. There it is again. We got workers. That who typed this? Let's see. Lena H. Sun and Yasmin Atuluba. Apparently they both come from communist countries or something like that. That's why the Post hired them, because they're going to advance the cause. To a dozen workers to receive the first Americans evacuated from Wuhan, China. It's kind of fun to say Wuhan, isn't it? The epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak without proper training for infection control or appropriate protective gear, according to a whistleblower complaint. Now, wait a minute. Did President Trump invent the Department of Health and Human Services 3 years ago? Or has this been a government agency for as long as I can remember? And is he responsible for their clothing, for their training? Is he personally responsible for it? Or is this just another government failure that the Washington Post is blaming Trump for? I'm trying to figure that out. I know the answer. It's a rhetorical question. Without proper training for infection control or appropriate protective gear, according to whistleblower complaint. Honestly, when President Trump, when he was campaigning, did he promise, on my first day, I'm going to be sure that HHS workers have the proper attire for meeting Wuhan-infected people at the airport in California? What are you talking about? This is the Washington Post. But they're not politicizing it. I know because I read in another article today that Trump is wrong when he says it's being politicized. The workers, Sig Heil comrades, did not show symptoms of infection and were not tested for the virus, according to lawyers for the whistleblower, a senior HH official based in Washington who oversaw workers at the Administration for Children and Families, a unit within the HHS. How many units are there within the HHS? You know how many tens of billions of dollars they get every year? And then $700 million. The president suggested cutting $700 million from nearly $100 billion. And the media is going crazy. And then it wasn't cut. It was actually increased. The money was increased because that's how Washington works. And then the Democrats come out and say, he cut money, knowing that he didn't cut money. And then the news media reports, he cut money, knowing that he didn't cut money. And then they accuse you of engaging in the worst conspiracy theory yet when, it's beyond my ability to. So the workers did not show symptoms. We're all China now. The whistleblower is seeking federal protection. Of course she is. Alleging she was unfairly and improperly reassigned after raising concerns about the safety of these workers to HHS officials, including those within the Office of Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. See, because you got to get it right to this, is the Washington Post. She was told February 19th that if she does not accept the new position within 15 days, which is March 5th, she would be terminated. Now, the timeline, the Post is just corrupt. You need to, if you're going to take up this legal case, you have to lay out the timeline. They'd have no interest in that because facts are not the thing with Lena H. Sun and Yasmin Abdulib. So she wants federal protection. And it turns out, now let me just cut to the chase here because this goes on for four pages. None of the people on the plane that they greeted have tested positive. None of the people that went to greet them have tested positive. To suggest that this is Trump's fault because he didn't micromanage HHS for the last 3 years, their clothing and their training, is completely absurd on its face. But just want to be clear about this. Nobody's politicizing it. I read that because it's in the Washington Post today also, as other articles politicize it. But never mind that. And Pelosi and Schumer and the dollar figures and Obama's great and you're not. And here's what Obama did. Why don't you do what Obama did? So, you know, you didn't name a czar. And then you name Pence. Is he a czar? No, this is not the Soviet Union. Maybe if Bernie's elected, you'll have better luck. This made me laugh yesterday, too. Iran accuses the United States of coronavirus scaremongering. Iran is acute. Now, who's doing the scaremongering in the United States? Who is it that's doing? So really, it's Iran's allies, the Democrats. I think they're working hand in glove here. One of the conspiracy theories by our enemies is to spread public panic in order to push our country toward lockdown, said Iran's President Hassan Rouhani, who the Democrats admire very greatly, much more than Donald Trump. He told a meeting of the National Committee on Combating Coronavirus. See, they got one. They should have a czar, too. That'd make NBC happy if they created a czar. The body was formed by high-ranking officials in response to the coronavirus epidemic in Iran, which has recorded the highest number of fatalities outside of China, where the disease was identified late last year. This is pretty funny stuff here. This is a Middle Eastern publication. And when they say the enemies, that's shorthand for, you know, the Jews and the infidels, the United States and Israel, Israel and the United States. And he says that they're scaremongering, we, the United States, and Israel, the Jews, are scaremongering in an effort to get Iran to lock down, you see. Now, again, what is it, the vice president in Iran, this is pretty funny stuff, was coughing and sneezing at a... the deputy health minister was coughing and hacking at a public event talking about the coronavirus. And the next day they announced that he had come down with the coronavirus and that he had it when he was sitting in the room full of health people, hacking and coughing and making jokes about the coronavirus. Exactly.
البته من اشتباه کردم.
They're all laughing.
دقیقاً. یعنی فکر کردم اول گلو دارم تازه میکنم.
This is why
مردم ما مطمئن باشن که ما.
Well, he came down with the coronavirus the next day. They're doing jokes. You see, this is why there are not a lot of Iranian stand-up comics, because the Farsi is a little bit difficult. But they've got, in Iran, they've got the health minister, their deputy health minister, and I think who, the vice president or somebody has come down with it now. They've got it's running rampant in Iran. And in California, too, because in California, but we're scaremongering. I don't think it's Trump that's doing the scaremongering, but a lot of them are doing scaremongering. Rouhani says no urban quarantines planned as Iran coronavirus death toll hits 19 in Iran. You see, President Hassan Rouhani, friend of the Democrat Party, said on Wednesday that Iran had no plans to quarantine any cities or districts. They're just going to kill everybody. In response to the country's coronavirus outbreak, which the health ministry said had killed 19 people. You see, you can't believe them any more than you can believe the communists in China. And in China, they're saying that the number of new cases is going down. Going down, like the Led Zeppelin song. California, in the meantime, is monitoring 8,400 people for coronavirus, and 33 have tested positive. And they got that guy, Gavin Newsom. He's the governor of California. He has, have you noticed, his forehead doesn't move, and his teeth are preternaturally white. He has, the guy is like his Botox face and his dentition, which is really, I mean, they care about hair and skin. It's California. If you're running for office, Gavin Newsom.
The testing protocols will be advanced with urgency.
Urgency.
We have hundred testing kits in the state of California, and that's surveillance testing as well as diagnostic testing. That's simply inadequate to do justice.
How dare you? How dare you not be prepared with 40 million people in California, about 40 million testing kits for a virus that didn't exist. How dare you? But if you were a Republican, they'd be raking him over the coals. They'd be crucifying him. How dare you not? So 33 people in California have tested positive, 8,400 people being watched. In New York, there are also now hundreds that are under quarantine. And in Hong Kong, they found a dog carrying the coronavirus. It's been quarantined. They want to make sure it's safe to eat. And it's not clear how the dog got the coronavirus. It's possible, I don't know, was the dog maybe eating people? Turnabout is fair play.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/search. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search. ZipRecruiter.com/search.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like that much-needed 125-inch flat-screen TV.
It's hurting my eyes a lot.
For your 200-square-foot apartment.
My neck isn't so much stiff as it's completely stuck.
With Liberty Mutual, get customized renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Uh-oh, I'm seeing color splotches.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Hey, I heard you need some work done on your house. Here's somebody I like.
Ooh, thanks.
Wait, what are you doing?
I am verifying your recommendation on Angie's List.
My word's not enough?
I just like to get hundreds of second opinions.
Finding a qualified person is easy. Just check Angie's List. After all, we have info on more pros than just about anybody. Say you heard about a good electrician. We have reviews on them and thousands more, plus ratings, photos, even special offers. Find exactly what you're looking for at AngiesList.com.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908.
800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
John Berman, Joe Biden, back and forth this morning is laugh out loud funny. What a joke CNN is on John Berman. We'll get to this. Just being fluffed. We have no journalists left. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Gabriel calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Gabriel, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
Hey, I just want to let you know that I took a page out of the Democratic playbook and indoctrinated my child so he can go to the school and be the chink in the armor. And what I have done is I constantly listen to conservative radio, AM and FM, and I have one in the garage that just plays 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
And when my child comes home after school, he does his work and he plays on the computer and watches television. But what I didn't realize is he was listening the entire time. And everything that you've stated, when you go down the checklist and you name off all of the wonders of the Democratic Party, the party of the Civil War, the party of racism, segregation, the party that filibustered the Civil Rights Act, party of open borders, when you go down a checklist and I get on my soapbox and I tell my child, well, my son, things how negative the Democratic Party is,
uh-huh.
Because when he goes to school, he tells me, like, Daddy, the television said that President Trump is doing this. And I said, where'd you hear this from? Well, they get force-fed CNN every day for children's news. And I correct him, and I told him this is what they're not telling me. This is what is really going on. So in one of his classes, he stated that the teacher kind of had like a open mic day, and they could talk about whatever they wanted to. Each child went up there and spoke. Well, my son, he went up and asked, who's a Republican, who's a Democrat? And the majority of the children had raised their hands to be Democrat. So then my son, he went through the checklist and started naming off all these things and started going down and, like, everything that you stated, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, everything that he hears. I couldn't believe it that he was naming off and he was telling me what he had said. And then he took a vote again. Who wants to be a Democrat or Republican? Half of those kids that changed their mind was rose their hands. And the other half of the kids that didn't raise their hand, they had the blue screen of death. They couldn't compute. They didn't understand. They were just like, what is going
on? Blue screen of death. That is outstanding. Gabriel, God bless you. That is a great story. I love that story. You're a great father. God bless you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.